also need a podcast, and they need your help. Can you make it onto the wheel? Bob and Akiva need a podcast. Yeah, they'll find themselves your ideas. They'll talk about it till you've got it, you'll feel. Every weekend, better attend. You can guess what will be coming up next. Bob and Akiva need a podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Robin and Givenita Podcast, episode number 158. We're talking SNCC shows are trash, a.k.a. Akiva Explains It All, here today to talk about the big orange couch. Here's a man who once became a superhero who didn't get up off a recliner. It's Akiva Whitaker. Akiva, how are you?
Rob, I'm great.
Oh.
I'm excited to talk to you today. Excited to talk to our guests.
Yeah.
I was excited to watch these shows that I hadn't seen in 25 years.
Yep.
I'm just excited.
Okay. Well, we've got a great panel with us here today to talk about the SNCC shows are trash. Akiva, maybe the best foursome ever put together since me and you and Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson.
We did get a bunch of requests this week. It is holiday season. Should we get those shirts out in time for the holidays?
Yeah,
we got some requests for them.
I did see. Look, that if it's for real, that somebody on the Renap subreddit already, Elfie Selfie, already made the mock-up. So we could put Tricky on.
We need a better one. But I think there's like a classic format, honestly.
Yes. Okay. Well, I will get,
somebody just send them to me. Or you have somebody?
We do have a graphic designer around here. Akiva.
Yeah. So just like copy the one that everyone does.
Great. Great. All right. We'll work on that. I think the problem is that the Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson is too long. Akiva. Have you heard that?
I mean, so you lower the font, maybe, from...
Pete Davidson. I don't know if you ever heard this.
Ironically...
Too long.
Yeah. It won't the issue fit. Should be with Machine Gun Kelly, because there's more letters. But you're saying Pete Davidson too long.
Well, I mean, Machine Gun Kelly, I think, is a similar problem.
Should we put Colson Baker there, maybe?
I don't know. We got to see the form. Maybe I have to go multiple lines. I think that might fix it.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
All right. Maybe break format with what Elfie Selfie did on the Renap subreddit. All right. Also, Akiva, did you see this week on Fallon that Miley Cyrus and Pete Davidson in studio together? It was a party.
Yeah, we were arguing about what they were going to be doing, and then we didn't figure it out. Also, I forgot to check who was on Zoom and who wasn't on Zoom.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll find out as the show goes on. But let's bring in our panel here today, because we talked about SNCC shows are trash, of course. We were very fortunate to book one half of the Shite 90s Shows Taught Me podcast. Let's welcome in Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I am so happy to be here. I'm really excited to visit my 90s childhood, for better or for worse. Well, we'll see. But it's an honor to talk SNCC shows with you both.
Okay, very happy that you're here, and very happy to have back here with us to talk about some SNCC shows, my co-host of the Nothing But Netflix podcast. Please welcome in Chappelle.
So, Rob, Akiva, Sarah, how are y'all?
Doing fantastic. This is like the Kenan and Kel of podcasting.
Am I Kenan or Kel?
Who do you want to be?
Who would want to be Kel at this point?
I mean, yeah, today I probably would want to be Kenan. I guess Kenan is an icon.
Kenan are both prolific.
Am I prolific? Is that
you've been podcasting for 25 years straight, just like Kenan Thompson's been on variety late night shows,
sketch
on
comedy
nights.
His whole life. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my whole life. Like I didn't even realize it. You would see those stats on Twitter and stuff, and if people talk about how long Kenan's been in the spotlight, I'm like, my entire life, I grew up watching that man on TV, and it's so wild to talk about it. So I'm happy to come here and talk about SNCC shows, especially because Sarah's here. Like, that made me so happy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, Kenan is not on SNL. He's always been on All That. I'll always think of him to be from All That.
Okay.
It's like crazy.
Well, we have three different SNCC shows that we're going to be talking about here today. They are all available on Paramount Plus, it seems, that all of a lot of the SNCC library is available. We're going to be talking about Are You Afraid of the Dark? Season 5, Episode 7. I thought we got the Season 3, Episode 7 until I looked closely. I thought, oh, that's a 5, not a 3.
Yeah, this one is pretty exciting because we have Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
And a young Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling. Okay.
Yes.
I sometimes get Ryan Gosling and Ryan Felipe confused.
Felipe.
Yeah. Not Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Not Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling.
The Ryans don't have a thing like the Chris's. Nobody's like, oh, all the Ryans in Hollywood.
Should we do King of the Ryans and we'll have Matt Ryan win? You'll get mad.
Yeah, that would be good. That'd be good. I'd be open to revisiting that. All right. So Season 5, Episode 7 of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Then we have All That. Which All That episode are we covering today?
So it is Season 3, Episode 5. And I liked this episode because it has all the heavy hitters in terms of segments. We have Good Burger, we have Vital Information, we have the very first Ask Ashley with Amanda Bynes, which I thought was very exciting, and a special guest of Tyra Banks.
So, okay. All right. Well,
couldn't be better.
Yeah. Chappelle and I covered the America's Next Top Model on the RJP Rewind. So good pick there. Good pick. Welcome to the good pick. And then finally, we have Clarissa Explains It All, going back to Season 1. What Season 1, Episode what?
13. Some people say it's Season 2, Episode 1. Paramount Plus does a really weird thing with their episode numbers, but to find it on Paramount Plus, it's Season 1, Episode 13, Clarissa's Crush. This is one of the most highly rated episodes of Clarissa Explains It All. And who didn't have their first crush on somebody on TV?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Not Akiva, because we talked about who's your news crush. And he was said thought that that was like a preposterous idea, right, Akiva?
News crush?
Yeah. Who is your newscaster crush?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that Tom Brokaw? People don't say Tom Brokaw.
Maybe somebody had a...
I'm sure lots of people had Tom Brokaw.
You think so? Tom Brokaw? Was he a hot guy?
I think he was a hot guy back in the day.
Also, his voice.
Hot voice.
If you have a good voice, then you go like 10 points up in the hot scale.
Mm-hmm.
Young Tom Brokaw?
I assume that the scale is 100 or else I'd be a 10.
I think it's a 10. 10 out of 10.
Okay. All right. So we're going to talk about everything about the SNCC shows. I wanted to mention also, whenever something comes up like in pop culture or that things that we had talked about, Akiva, did you see that Sex and the City is back this week?
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you what channel it's on. I thought it was a movie.
It's HBO Max.
Okay, HBO Max. I thought it was a movie, but... But now I think it's
they
episodes?
Were making a movie. I thought they were making Sex and the City 3. And then it's like, no, it's a new Sex and the City show. It's called And Just Like That.
I don't understand why they put popular things on it, even if it's bad, like on HBO Max. Why not?
Well, I don't
say like,
oh,
it's on HBO Max a week beforehand. What's the title?
And it's called And Just Like That.
Rob.
Sarah, what's better? And Just Like That or All That?
Well, I did watch And Just Like That, and All That is probably better, but it's called And Just Like That because Carrie would always do her article and then she would always be like, and just like that, blah, 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 blah. And she would write her article.
Chappelle, this is a bad title, right?
I don't know what this is. I'm just listening. You know, like you talk about Sex in the City and you're just speaking white nonsense to me. So whatever Sarah says goes.
I think I've seen this whole show. I did not know. And Just Like That was one of the Sex in the City catchphrases.
Did you? It is. She says it like every episode.
Did Rob really just watch like it?
Mm-hmm.
Rob saw every episode of Sex in the City the same way Akiva listens to every album that comes out.
I watched them in the real time. I never have gone back and watched them.
Yeah. It didn't
same
sound
thing
like
with
it.
Me and the albums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. It seems like nobody likes it. The new Sex and the City, Akiva.
I mean, I'm sure if you're, you know, Kristen Davis and you're just getting free money, she probably likes it.
Mm-hmm. Well, kids probably like working. It. I mean, it's not like she's just getting like,
yeah, but I mean, I'm sure they're doing nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But maybe it's a big win for what's her nose, for Samantha.
What's her nose?
You know, the one who's not in it, because now it sucks. And it's like, oh, now she's not in it. It's bad all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Jessica and I actually covered the very first episode. Oh, and that's kind of we did. Yeah. And that's kind of our hypothesis, that it is not joyous and fun because Samantha's not in it.
They got rid of the best character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do they replace her? Do they have a new member of the gang, Sarah?
So they have potential new members. I think that they're probably going to implement some of these women. Charlotte has a new mom friend that we might be implemented. Carrie is a podcaster.
Is this Sex in the City podcast, Rob? What's going on?
No,
here?
I'm curious. Akiva, okay. That it was but like 15 episodes ago, we did a whole episode about Sex in the City. That don't make it like this is not canon for Renap.
Fair enough.
I will say that Carrie is a podcaster now, and not a good one.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Carrie Bradshaw is on the podcast.
Okay. Oh, like we never go off on a tangent on this show. Please, only talk about Snick.
That's right.
Wait, Rob, you in the core four, you weren't a carry though. But now I think we need to reconsider that. I thought you were like, weren't you a Charlotte?
I was a Miranda.
Oh, yeah. Now
Akiva's
you're a carry.
Charlotte.
I don't know. You're the king of the podcast world. Mm-hmm. You're the new Carrie. Now we have to reevaluate your everyone's
Carrie's
standing.
Articles always were a podcast, basically. It's just like talking about like, and then I went to the store and then I saw.
Oh, so now wondered. You know what the articles say. Wow. And just like that. You just came like up with that out of nowhere.
All right. So, okay. So Akiva doesn't want to talk anymore about Sex and City. All right. Let's talk about the first of our three SNCC shows. Are you afraid of the dark? And Akiva, you famously are, right?
I wasn't afraid of the dark. I was just afraid of the things that were in the dark, you know? Yeah. What scared me was like, now it's dark. What's in my closet? But I mean, I guess maybe that is being afraid of the dark. I'm not sure.
Sarah, could you set up the premise for the anthology series, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Absolutely. So Are You Afraid of the Dark is actually a Canadian-American show. And what happens is that every episode, this group of preteens / children leave their homes. I don't know if their parents know that they're leaving their homes, but they leave their homes in the middle of the night, go to a creepy forest and tell ghost stories.
Yeah.
So we have our five people. Some of them are there throughout the whole series. Some of them leave. So there's new people and they tell ghost stories. And then you flash to different actors. It's not like American Horror Story, where it's the same actors every single episode. It's new people and they tell different stories. So they range from scariness. So there's clown episodes, which I didn't pick for you. There's a infamous episode with Tia Tamara, which I love, where it's like that classic, like there's two people and it's like, oh no, which one is my friend type of thing.
What do you mean, which one is my friend?
So like they're twins. So you see them and then one's evil and the one's not. And you are like, which one is
like
my friend?
Like
which one's good?
Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen thing.
A tale as old as time.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
But this one is.
Akiva, am I allowed to talk about Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen?
Yeah,
because
we can talk about
Mary
Kate.
That's not this episode.
I mean, I was just, getting a little bored of the Sex and the City.
Okay. Ooh. I guess you didn't have a good time when we did that podcast.
No, that I did. I had it then. I felt left out. I didn't know the show. I hadn't seen the thing.
What do you mean you didn't know the show? We did like you know as much as I did.
No, you watched every episode. I saw like a couple episodes.
Okay.
Well, I have a question though, Rob.
Yes.
It's really about all three of these shows because I am famously a 90s kid. I know some people try and say that if you were born in the 90s. You're a 90s kid, but everyone knows that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You're a 90s kid if you grew up at least a little bit in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Well, I saw these shows. I was probably 13 when, let's say, the season of All That came out and probably the other shows. So I was aging out of them, but I certainly saw the beginning of all three of these shows.
Yeah.
But you're a little older than I am. Do you have any familiarity with any of these three shows? I want to know.
So I would say of these three, I think Clarissa Explains It All I knew the best. Like, I feel like I wanted to like Are You Afraid of the Dark more. I always like the anthology format, your Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt. Like, I do like a show that's like a different story every week. So I definitely remember checking out a bunch of them, but I feel like I wanted to like it more. And then all that, you know, like, again, I was while I was probably a little bit older, I was not popular and never out on a Saturday. So I think I probably ended up absorbing a lot of this, even if it wasn't necessarily shows that I know as well as our panel.
Well, Rob, Akiva does make a good point. This is SNCC shows, you know, but you didn't really set up the premise of SNCC shows. This is why I volunteered my Please. Time. Okay. Because I consider myself a Nickelodeon historian of sorts, you know? Oh. And so this is right up my wheelhouse. So I was wondering if you had any familiarity with the, you know, the 90s Nickelodeon lineup. I know Akiva would because he's the youngest millennial of all time. Mm-hmm. Well, the youngest, oldest millennial or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I know you're out of that range, Rob. So what is your familiarity with SNCC as a concept?
So there's a big orange couch. It's Saturday night block of Nickelodeon. And I guess that they maybe it's like, oh, well, ABC has Friday nights, the market cornered. But we at Nickelodeon, we're going to corner Saturday night and we're going to program a block of television on Saturday night for young audience.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. So Nickelodeon, of course, starts as this television network for children or whatever. And then they incorporate Nicktoons at some point. They start off with the big three, Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy and Doug, I think. Yeah, are the big three. And then like as they start to like try to find a spot in primetime for these shows, they realize that, you know, primetime television is already kind of dominated by other stuff. But the one night of the week where TV kind of sucks is Saturday because, you know, if you're at a certain age, you're probably out on a date or doing something like that. Or you're like maybe too old to even be, you know, to be asleep, but too young to be watching, you know, TV or whatever. So there's like this middle ground where the teenagers are just at home and they had to find something for them to do. So they came up with this 2-hour block to present these television shows. And it was such a big hit. Clarissa Explains It All actually was one of the first SNCC shows. And I mean, like, not to age myself, but I mean, I was too young to remember the first episode of Clarissa, even though I've seen all of it. And then, of course, you get. Yeah, I've seen all that. And yeah, and stuff like that. Yeah, it starts off with Clarissa. And then like they have like the flagship shows like the Pete and Pete's and Ren and Stimpy and things of that nature. Are You Afraid of the Dark is one of the shows. The Secret World of Alex Mack. Like you get the big like primetime teen shows for the people who were slightly younger than being actually a teenager. I don't think any actual like high school students were watching this stuff at that time. Maybe Akiva. But like for the kiddos.
No, I was not watching when I was in high school anymore.
Yeah. This was premium television for the kiddos, I will say, as one of the kiddos.
Chappelle, as a Nickelodeon historian, do you know Nickelodeon like pre SNCC era? Like you go as far back as like you can't do that on television?
Yeah, but like not in real time. So yeah. I would watch it, you know, when you get older, you get the good cable channels, you know, as you come from someone like me, I have to go to someone else's house because I was poor.
Yes.
But when I go to somebody else's house and they got satellite, you got to go watch like the classic Nick channel, Nick Arcade. You have to watch like the Noggins. You catch all the older stuff that they go back and talk about. So famously, you know, Degrassi is kind of like one of those things that Nick kind of incorporated into their Noggin spinoff. You know, so I had, you know, history with those shows, but just kind of, you know, after the fact.
Okay. All right. So the stage is set for SNCC. Should we talk about this episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Sarah, from what I understand, Are You Afraid of the Dark, there's a different kid that tells the story every week.
Yeah, they rotate. It's you get the kids get days. I don't know. Probably like there's the Monday kid, the Wednesday kid. This kid that we meet is not part of the Midnight Society yet. They're actually like kind of hazing him like it's a fraternity. And they're saying, you know, he has to audition to be part of the crew. And it looks like the other people do not want him to be part of the Midnight Society.
Yeah, this is like his third or fourth audition. You know, when you're going for a job and they're like, oh, yeah, we'll do another interview and another interview. Yeah, we'll do another interview in front of a panel now. It looks like he's not their favorite person, but he's trying to get in because the premise of the show is that the kids have to tell the scary stories, because if they had an adult doing it, it would be creepy. Not in a scary way, but in kind of like a, you know, creepy way. Like, why are y'all in the woods with an adult in the middle of the night? But, you know, they allow the teenagers and the preteens or whatever to tell the stories. And so this guy, and this is late in the series, so this guy is trying to like catch on to the tail end of Are You Afraid of the Dark, it seems.
Okay. Did they reboot Are You Afraid of the Dark at some point?
They did in 2019. It doesn't seem like it was like a big success.
Okay. The world wasn't ready for the comeback.
They reboot so many things that you really never like. I guess the problem is the intended audience a lot of times is like 20 years older. So it's like, well, who's going to watch this? Like, my kids don't care or don't exist yet. And, you know, like, I'm too old for it. So I do think it's weird. Adult shows, at least like Mad About You, their issue was all their fans were dead. But with a show like Are You Afraid of the Dark, they've just moved on to like adulthood. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. It's a tough move to.
I think it's like generational interest as well. You know, like Are You Afraid of the Dark, when it first was released, was like the first of its kind. You know, like it was like Twilight Zone for children.
Yeah.
But then they had Goosebumps and they had other similar shows to that where it kind of built that same format. And so back then, that was a novelty. I don't think kids are clamoring for scary stories now because they have the internet and the world is a lot scarier than what it was back then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. I also think that, so they're making these shows and I think that they're trying to catch lightning in a bottle and try to attract children again. But what they should be focusing on are the people that watched it back in the day and that have the nostalgia for it. So they should age up the show to accommodate the people that would watch it now.
So you want the kids as adults telling scary stories about like, oh, mm-hmm. you should see my alimony payments.
Well, I'm just saying that it should be actually scary. I don't know. People like me. I think that the kids that like scary, creepy things.
Yeah.
No. Not adult horror stories. Mm-hmm. Just actually scary things.
Have you heard about the new variant? Yeah.
I'm just saying that the kids that watch Are You Afraid of the Dark are the same kids that are watching, I don't know, like American Horror Story or Dexter or whatever murder shows.
Mm-hmm. I think it's tough to do this because I think that ideally, like the people that were watching the show at the time, like they have kids, but they probably don't have kids that are old enough to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? So it's sort of like you need like you could bring back something like they should bring back like Barney, where then like because then like kids that like watch Barney are old enough to have kids that would watch Barney. And so here, watch this, kids. It's Barney.
Barney was my life at four. Mm-hmm. I mean, Barney and I go way, way back.
Right.
Him and Lamb Chop. Whatever happened to Lamb Chop?
Lamb Chop was an icon. I hope Lamb Chop isn't problematic and canceled somewhere. Like, you know how you stand something and then years later you're like, oh, they did what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Man, miss me some Lamb Chop.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening with the Barney IP? That may, you know, like.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Is nothing going on with it? You think we just buy the Barney IP right now for
should
like $100?
Should we remake Barney? Let's see. Is there a Barney remake? Let's see.
It's something that they never had to cancel in the first place.
Action Barney remake. This was as of 2020. Let's see. Here's what we know about the live action remake of Barney. Got held up by COVID. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it might be in development hell. We might be able to, because it's a distressed asset, Akiva.
Yeah. Well, there's a 3-part Barney documentary appearing on Peacock next year.
And mm-hmm. I will watch it and mm-hmm. get back to
Let
you.
Us know. Let us know about Barney Doc. So, okay, it might be gritty.
So Daniel Kaluuya is mm-hmm. remaking Barney the Dinosaur, and it sounds kind of dark. See, that wrong direction.
Yeah.
See, but it also doesn't seem like it's ever going to come out because it was announced in 2015.
No, this article is from October 2020.
Okay.
We already have a remake of Barney and it's called Dinosaurs. And we all know how that happened.
Yeah,
that's true.
Okay.
It's sad because Barney had 4 year old Sarah in a blender, but as when I was 4 years old, I was watching Clarissa, you know, so it just shows you, I had no time for Barney. I had no patience for that. I was trying to watch what the big kids was watching.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about the theme of this episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark, which has Ryan Gosling in it. And was he a series regular, Sarah, or this was just a one and done for
Ryan Gosling? Ryan Gosling doesn't even get a credit in because the focus here was Gilbert Godfrey. That was the get, not Ryan Gosling as a young child.
Yeah.
Right. Who?
Yeah, Akia, have we watched anything yet with Gilbert Gottfried in the history of Renette?
It's a good question. I can't think of anything, but it's very possible we have.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading about Gilbert Gottfried. So his voice is fake, right? Because they say like when he was on SNL, he didn't do the voice.
Mm-hmm.
He picked it up after.
Okay.
I don't remember something in particular that we saw with GG.
With GG.
But,
okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
He probably taught Gosling everything he knows.
Probably.
He does turn off the voice at some point throughout this episode too. And I was shook. I didn't know that he could turn it off. I thought that was just the voice that God gave him. And so, mind blown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does another impression. So the story here is about, two brothers that, seemingly have access to a hearse. Stop me if I'm getting anything wrong, Sarah.
That's correct. It seems as though the Ryan Gosling family are car mechanics. And it seems as though the hearse is there because it needs regular maintenance.
Mm, okay. And so Ryan Gosling's brother talks him into going into the car. Did I have that wrong, Sarah?
So Ryan Gosling's brother, Chris, is a freaking creep and a half, and yeah. He's obsessed with death, and he's a little of a sicko. So he pretends that he's dead. At first I thought that they lived in a funeral home. No, he's just a weird kid. And Ryan Gosling, his Chris's brother, and his name is, I don't know, who cares?
Jamie, I think is
the name
in the movie.
Jamie,
yeah.
He is wants his brother to be cool and play sports and not be into death so much. So he decides to try to scare it out of him by locking him in the hearse.
Okay, so Ryan Gosling is the protagonist or is the brother?
The brother.
Oh, he's the older brother.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yeah. That was unclear to me.
A nobody back then, Rob. Yes. You know, he couldn't get typed.
The episode is called like "Are You Afraid of the Dark?" Season 5, episode with Ryan Gosling. I assume that he was the lead.
No, he's not even the lead. But they really are name dropping Ryan Gosling in this.
Yeah, for the clickbait, Akiva.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's like how we're gonna promote this podcast.
Mm-hmm. With Ryan Gosling's name.
I meant with Sarah and Chappelle.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
Get people in the door. Doesn't matter what we're listening, what we're talking about. But so, all right. So then, so Ryan Gosling talks his brother into getting into the hearse, and then Ryan Gosling like hotwires the car with a car battery. I don't think that's how it works, Akiva.
I don't know much about cars, but yeah. I'll take your word that it doesn't
Chappelle,
work like
can
that.
Can you start a car by just attaching it to a car battery?
It looks like the only thing that was missing from the car was the battery. So like, that's all he did. He just took the battery and just hooked the cables up to it, gave it a quick charge.
He turned the ignition already, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Had it ready to go.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, because in order to stop the car from making, you know, the windshield wipers from being on and stuff like that, his brother Chris had to turn the ignition off. So at some point it was turned on.
Mm-hmm. Akiva, I noticed that the Are You Afraid of the Dark theme song was composed by Jeff Fisher.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a pretty average theme song. That makes sense. It's like an 8-8 theme song.
I do, at the end of this, I would love to rank the theme songs because they're so iconic to me. Mm-hmm. So to say that you think that the Are You Afraid of the Dark theme song is weak is slightly hurtful, but we'll move on from it real fast because we have important things to talk about.
Yeah.
average. It's average. Mm-hmm. Because the car wiring, which I might need to learn how to do one day, considering how like old my car is at this point, turns on and like the windshield wipers go off and it beeps and it's playing music and the station goes mysteriously to 109.1. Is this a real radio station?
I believe that is beyond the scope of the FM dial.
Oh, okay.
I think your radio in your car might go to like 108.9.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And so this is like the next channel up from that.
Got it.
So, yes. So that then it is this station 109.1, which is the radio from beyond. Akiva, this radio station is broadcasting from, I guess, to spirits. Do you think that we could start up a podcast from beyond that is only intended for those who have passed, who are stuck in between universes?
So it's a dead people podcast.
Dimensionally challenged is the.
And will people think that like they're in hell? Like, oh my God, or what?
Well, we are going to help people get to the light.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I think that could be good. Maybe they'll be our Patreon.
become a patron and then you will enter the light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll find out what the dead people know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you listen to three podcasts for the dead? Then, or like, if you make three podcasts for the dead, is that a mitzvah and then you go to heaven?
Yeah, it's a mitzvah. You go to heaven. Wow. It's a good callback. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, all right, 109.1. You can, I guess, Chappelle, you can only hear this radio station if you're dead.
Yeah, so it looks like the station is to help guide the already dead people to this, you know, to the pearly gates, because for some reason they missed their stop when they died and they don't know how to get out of this like middle ground where they're stuck here, but they're not actually physically here. And so Gilbert Gottfried and the radio station is like luring them back, you know, so they can put them at rest. And sadly, our main character, Chris here, he hears the radio station and now it has his complete attention because mm-hmm. they're like, hey, come find us. Let me help you find home. And so that's how our story begins.
Yeah. In case people are going to be sending us some fact checking, 108.0 is as high as the FM dial goes. Famously, Trunk 108. Yes. Mm-hmm. So that is as high up as you can go. So 109.1 is the beyond of FM radio, certainly. Chappelle, it's confusing, right? Because it's like the radio station is like, yes, okay, come to the light. But then I guess you have to go and Google where the radio station is, because then we saw that Ryan Gosling's brother, like on like Prodigy, with like a bunch of candles, has to Google the address for the radio station. Or Google's not even invented yet. He has to like, I don't even know what it's called.
Oh, yeah. This is a pattern in these 90s shows as well. Like, Sarah can talk on this a little bit, too. Clarissa, Are You Afraid of the Dark? They had computers that were well beyond their time. They could do whatever they wanted to back then.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah, I think you and I talked about that with Clueless. Once.
Yeah. Yeah, the Clueless software for designing outfits is amazing. It also reminds me of the website in Life Size where it's like, we're just like this old looking website. This website is called radiospace.com, where you can put in a radio station and it tells you, it's like a database. It tells you where it comes from. It doesn't show up. And then he searches for like the last entry and then somehow gets the address, which I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right, he's got the address. We're going to go down there. Got to go see what's going on over at 109.1. And so he goes there, and Akiva, this is where he finds Gilbert Gottfried, who is pretty funny, carries the episode, I feel like.
Yeah, Gilbert Gottfried's great in this episode. He is basically the last person you see before you die. He's like the administrator.
You're already dead when you see him.
You're already dead, but you haven't gone to the afterworld yet.
Right.
This is like the last thing you do. You're dead. Right, but you haven't gone to the afterworld, and he's like, it's like the DMV, and he's the administrator who basically sees you through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he used to work at the DMV. He said, "I don't make mistakes. I used to work for the Department of Motor Vehicles." I was like, "Oh, okay. Well, there you go."
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. So he's mad at the kid because he's not going on the line. Everybody that goes there says, no, this must be a mistake. This that I'm not supposed to be here. It's like the guests that we get on this podcast. Like, no, why? There must be some mistake. I didn't want to be here. You have the wrong person.
That's triggering, considering my first episode of this podcast was, I'm a Renap celebrity. Get me out of here. I was like, this is my first day here. Thank you, Akiva.
Mm-hmm. You really didn't know at that time, like, what you were getting into as well. I remember that was an infamous first appearance.
Worst day of my life.
No, stop it. What is infamous is the slap bracelet that he got for a number, which like, if you say like, what's the most 90s thing? Slap bracelets. Love it. I mean, how many slap bracelets did you get from like sweet 16s or bat mitzvahs or even weddings? Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Where are they now?
Been some fancy weddings.
Slap bracelet?
I don't remember the slap bracelet wedding.
All you have to go is
most of us weren't going to weddings in the 90s, honestly.
Orientaltrading.com, and you can get 400 for $5. Mm-hmm. That's it. So
why do you know that?
I mean, I just buy all the slap bracelets for my wedding favors. Duh.
Duh. Yeah.
But the slap bracelet is what unbinds you from the physical world. If you're wearing the slap bracelet, then you're done. You're invisible to a human eye.
Yeah. So, Akiva, that was like a very convenient plot contrivance here, that once Gilbert Gottfried puts the slap bracelet on you, you are basically a ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't see you anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's like the writing on this. That's a DMV.
Yeah. Yes, the writing on the show is flawless. Like, that was a great plot twist.
Yeah, because the kid tries to leave and he tries to go tell Ryan Gosling, like, hey, you have to help me. But he can't see him. He can't hear him. He's a ghost now.
He's no spoilers. The Sixth Sense kid, basically.
Yeah, I mean, this show did the Sixth Sense twist like 4 years before the Sixth Sense.
Yeah, that is quite the coincidence. The thing with Are You Afraid of the Dark is that because Nickelodeon was geared toward kids shows, they really couldn't figure out a way to do something like this that would get like signed off on by the network, because you couldn't do things on Nickelodeon that would put kids in a compromising position. There's famously an episode of Salute Your Shorts where a kid was trying to steal some candy, and they changed the entire plot to where he had to steal an orange because they didn't want to promote obesity for children. So when it came to Are You Afraid of the Dark, they couldn't do like a lot of like
so murdering. The problem wasn't stealing. The problem was obesity.
Yes. Yeah,
stealing, exactly. But that's fine for the kids. But steal fruit.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, So when it came to Are You Afraid of the Dark, they couldn't do a lot of the more menacing storylines where people like where someone would get murdered or something like that because it's children. So they had to take a lot of their stories from like fairy tales and other like commonly used like tropes to make their stories passable, so they didn't get any complaints. And so this actually, I can't think of where they got this storyline from, but to see that it paved the way from the Sixth Sense, I'll take it. It's fine. Yeah. You can't. M. Night Shyamalan has done nothing good ever. So the fact that they stole this from Are You Afraid of the Dark, I believe it.
I mean, I envision M. Night Shyamalan like watching SNCC and just like taking notes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
that's probably where he got his name from. M. Night Shyamalan. Like, oh, are you afraid of the dark? Night. That's, mm-hmm. It was all got there that. The whole time. That was the twist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That guy sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Chappelle, why are you so mad at M. Night Shyamalan?
I mean, because I've sat through one too many of his films. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, what is it? Is it Lady in the Water? Is that the name of that movie? Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God.
Is that the Fish Romance?
No, that's another movie. That's Grinding Nemo. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the one where the bird just comes in. Oh, I don't want to spoil it. The bird just comes and scoops up the person at the end for no reason, and it just ends. But mm-hmm. The village is there. It sucks. Avatar, like the last Airbender movie, that sucked. Mm-hmm. Just make a list. They all suck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you see Old, Chappelle? I wanted to see that. I never watched it.
Did I watch Old? No, I didn't watch it. It was a Shyamalan, right?
Yeah, it made Shyamalan.
Yeah, no, I had sworn him off by then. I refuse.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Keith, there's a thing at this place also that, like, so you either go to heaven or you go to hell. They don't really see anybody go to heaven, but, you know, when we go to hell, it's like, it's kind of like Ghost, speaking of, you know, our patron saint Whoopi, that, like, when you go to the bad place, like, some guys in cloaks, like, rip you and take you into the hallway.
Yeah. Well, though, we don't see what happens when he goes away. He just says, like, they didn't want me.
We don't see that, right? We do, but we do see other people going to the bad place.
Yes, the bad place.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Patrons. I'm just trying to work something up. Patron Saint Whoopi, like patron. I'm trying to work.
You want to plug something there? Patreon with the phrase mm-hmm. Patron Saint.
Patron Saint Whoopi. I'm working on it. I got to get back to me.
Hey, become the become a patron of 32 fans, and we'll preview mm-hmm. the Saints this weekend. Taysom Hill says, become a patron mm-hmm. saint.
They are playing the Jets. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll try that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alvin Kamara says, become a 32 fans patron.
You know what I was thinking about this show, Rob?
What?
The kids who are ostensibly the stars really do very little work. Like, they're not even in their own flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just in the first couple minutes and the last couple minutes at most. Like, mm-hmm. you get a few lines an episode, right, Sarah?
It's a good gig. To be honest with you, I mean, you only get like a couple of minutes there.
Series regular money, and then everybody else is getting guest star.
I do think that it has everything to do with saving money. You get like the big stars in, you only have to pay them X amount, but then the series regulars, then they're the ones that are part of like the actors union. And like, you have to pay them, but not for that much time. So
the kids are scabs, you're saying. These kids are not in the union.
Probably not. No. Okay. I mean, I don't know anything about the Canadian Union for Actors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they're also.
Is this a Canadian show?
It's Canadian American.
Well, what does that mean? Like, who's paying the bills here?
The Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Canadians are paying the bills.
And then the Americans take the credit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Sounds about right.
That's how mm-hmm. it works.
No, that sounds about right. Scientifically speaking, at least. You know, I think for the kids, though, the regulars, their goal was to be able to throw the magic sand into the fire.
Oh.
Like, it's like a coveted spot in Nickelodeon lore. Like,
yeah.
If you didn't do that, like, were you really even on Nickelodeon? Like, are you serious? So I think that's probably what they were trying to get paid in, because that magic sand is hard to come by.
It's hard to come by, and they're saving you from forest fires.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You gotta put out the fire before you leave.
Makes sense.
Smokey the Bear said that.
Yeah. Okay. So ultimately, Ryan Gosling's brother is going to find a way to communicate with Ryan Gosling. He's going to get to the radio transponder and send a message out over the radio, because his brother listens to some sort of like Rush Hour shock jocks, Akiva.
Yeah, he's very, this is like, it's so dated. It's so funny. Yeah, he's like very
Clark
into,
and Ryan.
Clark, he's talking to a girl or maybe a friend on the phone, and he's like, yeah, of course I'll be listening to Clark and Ryan. I never miss an episode. Yeah.
They're like the Opie and Anthony of 1995.
Maybe Mike and the Mad Dog. I don't know.
I was going to say Mike and the Mad Dog. Exactly. Yeah, you can't miss it.
It's 4 o'clock. What are they going to do next? Clark and Ryan.
Rob, is this relatable content? You were a radio kid. You were like tuning in to Howard Stern, at least.
Yeah, probably not until I was like older, but you probably could have reached me by finding a certain radio show. Now you have to find me on a podcast.
Oh, like, that's not hard.
Yeah, just tell like, and believe me, it happens all the time. I'm just listening to a podcast and people are talking to me.
I mean, if you were on the East Coast, then tell me you didn't spend every single morning with the Z Morning Zoo mm-hmm. while you're getting ready for school. Like, this is what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Rob was more of an Imus guy, but yeah, I think most people were into Z Morning Zoo.
Oh.
Gotta get those
killer reference, Uncle Kiwi.
Everyone loves Imus.
Yeah, everyone knows what you're talking about.
My dad used to listen to Imus. I feel like quack, the history quack. Has forgotten Imus.
Quack, yeah. quack, quack. Probably for the best.
Yeah, probably.
Not a good guy, Imus.
Quack, quack.
Yeah. All right. So basically, the brother comes in. They end up getting the snap bracelet. There's a guy, Daniel Carpenter. That was the guy that was supposed to be dead. Gilbert Gottfried really did make a mistake after he threw the kid into the afterlife, but the afterlife spit him back out.
Yeah, he didn't belong. They said that they knew that he was not dead and they would like to speak with Gilbert Gottfried. And then Gilbert Gottfried is very worried about losing his pension, although he is already dead. So how do you lose your pension in the afterlife? We'll never know. And then we go back to, like, some time has passed, and Chris, the star who is obsessed with death, is now no longer obsessed with death and now likes sports and now wants to play.
Was that what happened
baseball.
To you, Akiva?
That I was dead and now I'm into sports?
Well, you were obsessed with death, maybe, and then somebody like talked to you.
I wasn't so obsessed with death. I don't think I was ever obsessed with death. I want to not die, in fact, at the hands of Chucky the Clown and Marvin Harry, the Wet Bandits. I wouldn't say I was obsessed with death.
Yeah,
of course I was afraid of Chucky.
Chucky wasn't a clown, though. Chucky was just a doll.
He was very scary. You should have seen some of those commercials. They had.
Chucky's tiny.
I don't like Chucky.
Small.
No, that's how he gets you. He's tenacious.
There is a doll episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah,
I'm out on
dolls. Yeah.
Yeah,
so now the brother's not a freaking creep anymore, and he plays baseball with Ryan Gosling, and he lets the bug out of the jar, and all is well.
Do you think that the kid and Ryan Gosling stay in touch, Sarah?
No.
Oh.
No, I think that the kid was probably trying to get a hold of Ryan Gosling for a really long time, and Ryan Gosling lost his number.
Yeah, the kid is still like trying to contact him, like, hey, I'm over here. Like, and Ryan Gosling is still DMing, acting like he's a ghost. Yeah.
Yeah, he's DMing him on Twitter, and he's definitely getting ghosted. That's for sure.
Get on the radio.
Is this Sarah? Is this before or after Ryan Gosling does the what is it? The Mickey Mouse Breakers Club.
The Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, because he ends up like a very like prominent character in that world. I think this is after that.
So Ryan Gosling's first credit is Are You Afraid of the Dark, but it might have him as himself other things because he's not acting. So he's in the all new Mickey Mouse Club from 1993 to 1995 as himself. This is his first acting role in Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah, this is 1995. Yeah. So this is after he started the Mickey Mouse Club then.
Yeah. And guess what? His second credit is Goosebumps. Oh. Was he typecast? Wow.
Yes,
it's a typecast.
Yeah,
tell you,
Mean Brother.
Mean Brother.
So, yeah. It checks out. He was the mean brother in this. Well, he wasn't really mean, and honestly, his plan worked. He wanted to scare his brother out of like being afraid of, being super obsessed with death. And he did murder the kid, but he came back, and now he's not obsessed with it. He's obsessed with baseball.
Yeah, you
know? Look at Ryan Gosling.
He did it.
He's a lifesaver.
Yeah,
he did what needed to be done.
So that was this episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark? Sarah, are there some particularly well-known episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark?
So the aforementioned Tia and Tamara episode where was very popular for me. There's a clown episode that is like notoriously the most scary.
Oh, yeah.
Are You Afraid of the Dark episode? People really hate clowns. Forever. There's this one episode that's haunted me since I was a child where a cactus explodes and spiders come out. And ever since then, I've been afraid of cactuses. So this show does ruin lives. I do want to warn you about that. But Chappelle, did you any stick out for you?
I mean, that Tia and Tamara episode is ridiculous how like it's glued in my memory.
Yeah.
But I remember when Are You Afraid of the Dark? I think this is when I got a little bit older. And so I was watching the SNCC and stuff, but I was like age appropriate almost. I remember they were advertising a movie. And they were like, oh, no, for the first time, we're going to have like a television movie event for Are You Afraid of the Dark? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that, like trying to pretend to be brave. And they were like, it's called The Tale of the Silver Sight. And I remember like talking to my cousins and stuff, and they were like, oh yeah, we watched it. It was so scary. Oh my gosh. And I was like, oh yeah, I watched it too. I never watched it. And then like maybe a year later it came on like as a rerun. I sat there and watched. I was like, okay, that was not that bad. It's okay. You're an adult. I was like 13, but I was like, you're an adult, you know? But yeah, so that's young the adult. One that sticks out in my head. That's the one that sticks out in my head the most because I was afraid to even try to watch it. Cause I figured 30 minutes of Are You Afraid of the Dark is one thing, but like a feature film? No, thank you.
Anything else on Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I do want to say that they did let that kid into the Midnight Society.
Did they ever not let kids in?
Yeah, me. Yeah. I tried twice. Still can't get in.
Did you just wander into the woods?
Yeah, looking in all the woods everywhere. No, I think that everybody eventually gets into the Midnight Society. I don't think any kids are too dorky to join the Midnight Society.
Okay.
It's an equal opportunity society.
Akiva, you would have let in any nerds that wanted to be in the Midnight Society? No.
Well, I don't think it's a dorky thing. It's just how good are your stories. Like, it's not important how cool you are. But no, yeah, I would have been stricter. I would have been very strict with the membership. One of the women is married to Nick Swisher.
Nick Swisher. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish that they had, like, is there ever a bad story at the end? Sarah, they're all like, or no, that doesn't happen.
Gosh, like, I don't think it happens. I think they're very big hype people. Mm-hmm. For their fellow storytellers. Yeah.
They're very supportive artists. Hype people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we're like, you know what? Like, we could have lived without that one. There are really scary ones. I didn't think that this one was that scary, but it's definitely something that sticks with you for all this time. And I think that if you had to say, like, name one SNCC show, I think that a lot of people would say, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, because it kind of encompasses what you think SNCC is about. It's like late night, up late by yourself as a child, watching TV that you should be asleep for. Like, that's what I always imagine SNCC as. Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? And then, like, the funny shows as well that came around it. And then later on in the series or whatever, in SNCC's run, it became like the more adult shows, like The Caitlin's Way and 100 Deeds for Eddie McDowd and things of that nature.
It got the 9:30 slot as well.
Yeah.
Well, they move all that late. I would posit, and we'll get there, I think, right now, that all that was the SNCC show. Like, that was the main show on the network.
Long lasting.
But you could not be a child star, like a real child star at the time, without going through Are You Afraid of the Dark in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Like, you had to kind of, like, pay your dues by getting a guest spot. So that's why we see Ryan Gosling here. But there were a bunch of others. Nev Campbell even was on Are You Afraid of the Dark.
And what would be the right age for somebody to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark? Could I show it to my 8-year-old? They're too young.
Well, I was watching Are You... Okay, the thing is that millennials watched Are You Afraid of the Dark when we were 7, 8 years old. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have, but we're fine. Like, we're all a little, like, scarred, but, like, our lives are fine. So, yeah, like, show Dominic. Like, he'll be terrified, but... It's good for character.
Yeah.
Nickelodeon was unhinged. They took Are You Afraid of the Dark and they put it in the middle of the day. Like, it used to just come on regular Nick hours sometimes. So it would be like 2:00 in the afternoon. And all of a sudden, Are You Afraid of the Dark would come on. And that was it. It was nap time for me. I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm going to go outside and play or something. You know,
I mean, just think, like, for Nickelodeon, like, you're watching Rugrats, which is pretty tame. And then the episode changes and then it's Ren and Stimpy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was the free-for-all back in the day.
Got wild.
All right, let's talk about All That, our second show. Akiva, you said that this is the show that defined SNCC. Can you set up All That?
Yeah, All That is very easy to explain for those who are not familiar with it. It is basically like a kid's SNL. It has regular segments, like, even more so than SNL, I think, as, like, the one that Sarah picked for us today has, you know, the 3 or 4 more classic segments. I remember, like, really laughing out loud the first couple seasons of SNL. We would talk about what's her name? Sarah Beth.
The first one.
Lori Beth Denberg, like, her segment. I remember we'd always, like, you know, re-say them on Monday at school or whatever. All That was kids SNL. It was there's a musical guest which is cut out on Paramount Plus, but it was I think Blackstreet this week.
Oh,
yeah. Right, yep. Singing No Diggity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on. Sarah found it on YouTube. If people want to watch the,
yeah, I can post the video. Yeah.
But there's the host, at least in this episode. And again, I haven't seen the show in a while. The host doesn't come out and do a monologue. They just appear in like one or two scenes.
Yeah,
right.
They don't do the monologue. They always do like an opening sketch, kind of SNL-esque. And they'll like, you get Kevin, the stage manager, come on. And he'll say, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes to showtime. And he'll do that. And then something funny will happen. And then they'll just cut into the rest of the comedy. They don't really have a host.
Yeah, but it's a pretty straightforward show with, the same 5 or 10 segments. We have Amanda Bynes making her, not debut, but this is early in the Amanda Bynes era. I think it was the debut of her main segment, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. The very first Ask Ashley, which was always my favorite segment. And also Amanda Bynes is like so iconic for all that. But then later on, she gets her own show, The Amanda Show, which was also kind of like SNL, but just mainly her carrying the weight of every single segment. And then we also get, so this had, season three had a lot of the people that you would think of when you think of all that. Amanda Bynes, Lori Beth Denberg, Kel Mitchell, Kenan Thompson, and Josh Server, who I don't know where he is now, but he was like the king of all that.
The king of all that?
He was there for a really long time, and he did a lot of the character acting.
He was the Kenan Thompson of all that?
He really was.
I think he was there longer than Kenan. I'm not probably. I think Kenan was like.
I'm talking about the Kenan Thompson of SNL of absolutely of all that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Josh Server was the face. Kenan and Kel ended up becoming more and more famous as the time went on, and they ended up getting their own spinoff and the movie and stuff like that. But when it came to all that, you're like Josh and Lori Beth Denberg were like the two, right? And then everybody else was like spinoffs of them. And then like as the show went on. I don't know, like, Lori, first of all, let me just pay homage to Lori Beth Denberg because the things that she's done for millennial culture is just, I can't express it enough. But she goes on to do random other shows and movies, but she doesn't pop like she did in all that. Like, she will always be known as the girl from all that. And Josh Server will always be known as the guy from all that, whereas Kenan, of course, has gone on and done other things in his career.
Okay. Are any of the stars from All That on Cameo?
I'm sure all of them are.
Okay. So, Kel Mitchell is on the cameo.
Yeah. I'm surprised by that. We got Lori Beth Denberg.
Okay. Lori Beth Denberg is on cameo. $25.
What? That's a steal.
Yes.
I'm buying that.
Three pieces of
information.
Yeah.
I'll give you three pieces of information for your everyday life for $25. That's an incredible. You're buying a TV segment for that much money.
Everybody, we have like 10 more days. Well, 13 more days till the holiday season is over. Do yourself a favor and buy yourself a cameo from Lori Beth Denberg. Yeah. That's my one request for you.
Do you think she does bits?
I'm sure
$25. Kiva, Angie Chavez was more than that.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to play one? See what she's doing?
Let's see if I could play one from...
Hi, Kara. It's Lori Beth. Hello. Listen, girl, I am here to wish you the happiest birthday ever. Happy, happy birthday. I hope you have a great birthday. I hope it's fun or relaxing. I hope you get to do exactly what you want. And Ryan should make sure that that's what you get to do.
Ryan Gosling?
He says you are his wife.
Do they do a crossover?
And he loves you. And he says happy birthday, too. So, Ryan, let's make sure Kara gets what she wants for her birthday, okay? I'm a little excited because I just got booked on a talk show. Oh. I got booked on the Dopra show.
The Dopra show?
So I'm pretty excited to meet Dopra.
And it's going to be
like
updates.
An expose. I'm just going to like tell everyone secrets that I know. And
oh my
it's
God.
It's
going
to be really, really great. So hopefully you get to be there. Ryan said that you were.
Is Dopra a real thing?
Wow. And she's going to spill all the secrets.
Of all that or Nickelodeon.
This is going to be shocked.
Should we do five nights at Dopra?
Yeah, I think so. This is going to be a bigger story than the Meghan and Harry special.
I am shocked. Okay, my millennial heart is just on the floor right now. You telling me for $25 she will have a full length ass conversation with you about some stuff? Like,
you're just telling her what's up in her life.
I would like to know.
Yeah.
I deserve that much. We've been best friends since I was six. I'm budgeting right now for 17 of these because not only do I want to know about her life, I got questions about Nickelodeon. Like, let's spill it. Tell me about Danny Tamborelli. I want to know. Tell me all the things. When did Amanda Bynes crack? Like, I want to know. Lori Beth knows. She got
so for Chappelle's birthday. Chappelle, when's your birthday?
April.
No,
April,
okay, Christmas. Not so far.
Christmas.
All right, for Chappelle for Christmas, get him a Mary Beth cameo and just say, "Lady,
Lori Beth, Beth, you disrespectful person. What is wrong with you?
Lori Beth. Ever, it's been a while. It's been a while.
I saw every episode. I thought it's every like Monday albums. Morning, you were breaking down what she talked about.
We were, yeah, when I was like 9, and now I'm much older than 9.
Mm-hmm. Respect on her name. She's Lori Beth Dimberg. She has her whole, she has 3 names.
That's one more name in her LBD. Yes. Listen, in my 3 name rankings, she's toward the top, and I'd have to fight, you know, to make her
should
fall
that be
below
LBD or JTT. What happened to that? What happened to the 3 name bracket?
It was going to be bracket season. Yeah, bracket season, we said.
Okay. Yeah. Coming up.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. You want to talk through maybe some of the signature, all that sketches?
Yeah, we got a lot of them in this episode. Let's talk about them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that the one that I would have been able to tell you yesterday was Good Burger. And we see Kel here, Kel Mitchell, as the face of Good Burger. But was Keenan not a key member of Good Burger? Did he get added for the movie?
I believe they probably, Chappelle, did they continue Good Burger for the Keenan and Kel show?
I don't think so. So for just the movie, they went and did the spinoff movie, the, you know, feature film in theaters everywhere.
Should that be in the crappy movie diaper, Akiva?
Yes.
Yes.
100%, yes. I need someone to rewatch it and make sure it holds up.
I rewatched it. It's fine. Watch it.
Okay.
Was that recent? Was that recent rewatch?
If I have to say it was recent for you to put it in the diaper, then yes. Akiva,
all right, we can put it in. Put it in the diaper right now, Keenan and Kel.
Yeah, what are you worried about here?
Makes I'm my just day. Teasing. I was just teasing. But wait, yeah, I have a question.
The vegans are going to come down on Keenan and Kel. No,
they never even end up eating the food. The vegans, the best show ever for vegans. Nobody ever eats the burgers. We never see someone eat a hamburger once. No, well, first of all, Keenan is in this episode of all that. He's cold open.
He's not in the Good Burger sketch. He's not
Good Burger.
Yeah, but I think it's like, yeah, this was a Kel. This was a one-hander, just Kel. Keenan is usually in. Oh, wait, no, Keenan's not in a Good Burger at all.
No,
he was not in the movie. He was not in the sketch. So I thought that they were like, you know, Hans and Franz. It was like a 2-person bit. Good Burger.
No, that's a Mandela effect. Mm-hmm. It's just Kel. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, you know what we don't get in this episode, and it's only half hour, unlike the 90-minute SNL.
I mean, we don't get 19 minutes.
Yeah, well, because they cut out the music. Mm-hmm. We don't get a Sarah. We don't get a no talk in the library from Mary Beth Denberg.
Yes.
That's a classic also.
Yeah. I know.
She's the elder people.
There are, I mean, we get Mrs. Finley, which is like the teacher segment later on. But let's start with Good Burger because we get Ed and he sings his amazing song. Well, number one, he says, welcome to Good Burger, home with the Good Burger. May I take your order, which is ingrained in my head. You can never forget it. And he also sings his I'm a Dude song, which is the most iconic song in the galaxy. Akiva, do you remember how to sing the I'm a Dude song?
I don't remember how to sing it. I think we're all dudes.
You're a dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes. Hey, I mean, come on. It's a classic. So we have him. We have him doing his normal things, not doing his job. And then guess who comes in? Miss Tyra Banks.
Yes. And she just stands there and doesn't say anything for the first half of the sketch. Mm-hmm. She just stands there and is Tyra and is beautiful. And Ed, who is played by Kel, is losing his mind. Like he's just out of it. He's not listening to anybody else's order. He's fantasizing about their wedding. This is what you do when you see Tyra Banks, at least back in the 90s. Now you ask her a bunch of questions about America's Next Top Model and make her pay for her crimes.
It's Blackstreet's performer in 97?
1996. It's 1996. Okay. Yeah, this was debuted on December 14th, 1996. Tyra Banks was on the top of the world back then.
Mm-hmm.
So so many shenanigans. He instantly wants to marry her, and she says yes. She says, I've always wanted to marry a fast food employee that can't tell their right from their left, said their first word at 11, doesn't know where ice comes from, and is easily confused by cartoons, as all women are looking for in their lives. Mm-hmm. And then they have a wedding.
Yeah.
Jewish wedding. They're both Jewish.
Yeah.
A Jewish wedding. And yes. My favorite part of that was when they stepped on the milkshake cup. As you do in Jewish weddings, when you step on the glass and then the milkshake splats on Josh Server as the old guy.
Akiva, I got the suspicion that a lot of the writing staff for all that, I'm hearing like Tookus in in one of the sketches. Like, I feel like that. I really
don't think it was
like,
kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think it was old Jewish men like the other shows in the 90s?
Right.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, they're pretty cool. Like, if you like, shout out to those guys. Maybe they're in their 20s, but like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then he gets to almost kiss Tyra Banks, but he wakes up from his fantasy and is told that Ed is a disgrace to fast food everywhere. And then they really do kiss, but not really. It's like kind of like
very fake kiss,
very fake kiss. And Tyra says, you know, let's not rush things. Let's go on a real date before we get married.
Yeah.
And then they leave.
Okay.
And that's Good Burger.
In fairness, Kel's probably a minor here, right?
You don't want them kissing?
You don't think Bree is a minor? 35 pretending to be 16.
There were other people on Nickelodeon who had no whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a good question.
Yeah, Kel's definitely a minor at this point in his career. There's no way that's a grown man. But it was fun to see him interact with Tyra in this way. The kiss did catch me off guard, because you would think this person that you've never met before, you just don't kiss them because you had a dream sequence about marrying them. But
yeah,
look at that. Mm-hmm. It worked out for Ed. And so I'm happy for him.
So Kel Mitchell is 43 years old. So he would have been, I think, 19 at the time of filming. So I guess not a minor.
Guess not.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he could have.
Maybe Tyra was like, yeah, you know, I'm probably not going to come on and kiss somebody from all that.
Kiss a rando, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's not kissing a rando.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On Nickelodeon.
No.
Can I tell you some of the other guest stars from this season?
Okay.
It's a good way to look back in. Mm-hmm. And all that was a much more diverse show than maybe SNL in the mid-90s. Tia and Tamara were the first episode. Montel Jordan, Drew Hill, this is Tyra Banks of Blackstreet, Tribe Called Quest, Tony is coming soon.
Yes.
But some of the highlights are Ray J, Aaliyah.
Okay.
Yeah. Monica, Erica Badu. Yeah. So, very musical also.
Look at how black Nickelodeon was. Like, mm-hmm. Jesus. I mean, mm-hmm. like, that's why it had me in a blender, because I was like, I know these people. Now you can't pay for this kind of representation on television, and they're mm-hmm. trying to force it on everybody. They're like, there are rules that say you have to have representation. And back then, Nickelodeon was like, nah, let's black it up. And I loved
every
second of it.
We're just going to do it.
Yeah. And look, nobody complained. We just mm-hmm. listened
and nobody,
to songs.
They also never said, as a kid watching, you weren't like, oh, yeah, this is... like a primarily African American
show. You never just watched everybody.
And you look right. You look back at the cast is it has representation, which I think Nickelodeon had before a lot of other shows. But yeah, you look back at the guest house now, and it's almost 100% African American. The hosts and the musical
even guests. The musical guests. It was like the damn Apollo. Like Craig Mack performed. And I was like, why are these kids listening to Craig Mack? And by these kids, I mean me. Mm-hmm. I was listening to Craig Mack. But I listened to that, you know, in the car with my folks. And it's not something I expected to see on a children's show. But if I have to listen to Flavor in Your Ear, then I'm going to listen to it every time it's played. And if it's on mm-hmm. all that, then so be it. This was my time.
Some other highlights, DeBrat and a Sinbad and Coolio episode. That's
wow. See?
Look at
love
that.
It.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember the episode when Kel rapped. That was one of the, like, I was like, oh my God, Kel can rap too. It was crazy. All that was just, it was perfect.
What are some of the other signature sketches from all that, Sarah?
Yeah, Vital Information with Lori Beth Denberg, where she spews nonsense and kids laugh at, I don't know what, maybe just the silliness. And that, I guess, is almost like the new segment on SNL.
Weekend Update?
Weekend Update. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like supposed to be
the closest thing to Weekend Update. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just no, like a bunch of nonsense. I have no clue what she was saying.
I feel like now they do very light, like they talk about the vaccine. They would do like a much more like vanilla news segment now.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was none there.
We get Ask Ashley with Amanda Bynes. And this is, so Amanda Bynes is super tiny. She's the youngest person in the cast at this point. Very young. She looks like a sweet little girl. So the bit is you have this sweet looking girl reading a letter, and they have like a whole thing where it's like, you know, Ask Ashley, that's me. And then they didn't do it in this first episode, but down the line, it was a thing where like everybody in the audience would be like, that's me. And you at home would do it too. Mm-hmm. So she would read the letter sweetly. And then she has a rage issue. So then she reads the letter and then goes off. And we ate this up. I ate this up as a kid. I was like, oh my gosh, this is hilarious. So she reads three letters. The first being this girl, Tracy, who likes her peanut butter sandwiches one way, but her mom makes it the opposite way. So she likes it where her peanut butter's on the top and her mom makes it with the jelly on the top. And she basically calls Tracy an idiot and goes off. The next one is to Benjamin, who doesn't know how to use his brakes on his bike. Mm-hmm. And like I said, she goes off. This is
relatable for my son, yeah.
Poor thing. And then the last is Alex from Florida. And Alex likes this girl named Sarah. And he asked her out 74 times and she always says no. What's the deal? And my favorite line for the episode, Sarah, don't like you. I need a gif of that.
Yeah.
Get me a gif. And then she like, you know, she pulls all the storylines together and she's just like, why don't you go ride your bike to Tracy and like do nothing on the weekend and ask her out because she can like, you know, because all she does is flip her sandwich and blah, 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 blah. Long story short, we really, really enjoyed watching a tiny girl have anger management issues back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. What do you think about this segment, Rob?
Yeah, I thought it was fun. I got the bit there after the first couple of times. You know, the idea of having to tell a guy not to ask a girl out 74 times. I feel like that was probably that messaging was ahead of its time for 1996.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's the thing where the delivery is so aggressive. Like she's yelling, like turn the peanut butter sandwich upside down, you idiot! Like she's yelling. And then she goes back to like sweet Ashley, you know, she doesn't break. And that's the appeal of Lori Beth Denberg as well. In Vital Information, she says this thing that's hilarious to children only, but she does not break. She doesn't laugh. She just kind of holds her straight face. And, you know, in SNL, they can learn something from her because they break. Lori Beth, she don't break. But I think that's why both of these sketches work, because the two of them can deliver it and go right back into character so easily. Which is probably why Amanda Bynes ends up taking off so well, because this formula works so well to the when, you know, she gets her own show and incorporates all of this stuff into that as well.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like she does this segment throughout her entire run of all that. And it probably is one of the reasons why she got the Amanda show. Mm-hmm. And the Amanda show was also on SNCC and it was very iconic in its own right as well. There is so many segments from that is just so memorable. Mm-hmm. I love it. And then our last segment is this like school. Well, aside from the music guest that did not show on Paramount Plus, is the school segment. High budget, Rob. High budget. We get a full horse in this segment.
Yeah.
It occurred to me too. Yeah. You know, even like spending for the giant fake eggplant or whatever is in the first.
Yeah, it was a squash.
Sorry, I had eggplant on my mind. the squash and yeah, this show spent some money back then. It's impressive. But yeah, the horse just coming to the class.
Yeah, so we get Dusty Pants, who is actually a regular.
This is a regular. Well. What was the bit that just he's a cowboy in different
he's
situations?
He's the cowboy.
Was this a popular sketch?
I don't remember it, but I know that he shows up more than once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Dusty wasn't one of the big popular ones. Like we had Pierre Escargot, who was speaking French. Miss Piddin Love Peas, that was another one. What was another? Oh, Pizza Face. Do you remember Pizza Face?
Oh, Pizza Face is kind of gross. Yeah, it's literally just like a guy with like a pizza as a mask, and that's his face.
Right. So yeah. And then what was the chef who does the chocolate? Do you remember that?
I do. I remember. That's another Keenan bit.
Yeah, but Dusty was not in the same realm of those people. No. Or Repairman. You know, there were so many good ones that you put before Dusty. He's bottom tier.
Right. Yeah. Dusty. So we see Dusty trying to be normal in school, and Miss Fingerling, who is a regular as well. Mm-hmm. Like that's a regular segment. Freak out. We get like this like piano and Western bar. And then we get a showdown between Nasty Nancy. Played by Keenan, because you would be nasty if you were a cowboy named Nancy. And they're enemies, and they have a showdown.
Is Nasty Nancy a recurring character?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. We Keenan might see already, another showdown, but...
Yeah, Nasty Nancy wasn't a recurring character for the most part. If Keenan was spread pretty thin by that point, he was doing, you know, the Pierre Escargot. He was making, like, he was using chocolate.
They'd already done the movie. I think the movie's already come out by the time this episode airs. So, that, like, actually, the bloom is probably a little bit off the rose because the movie was considered such a joke. Right?
No, the movie was iconic. What are you talking about?
I know, but I think at the time it was like, it was in hindsight, I think.
So like, this is 1996. I mean, the movie might be in the can, but Good Burger does not come out until 1997, July of 1997.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I mean, Keenan was Principal Pimpel with a huge bulging pimple. I think he was. So I don't think Nancy was in his rotation heavily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but so that was a segment. We see the showdown. It didn't really go on because the horse has a dentist appointment. And then we have one quick segment, which was disgusting. Peter and Phlegm. We don't have to focus on this. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. And then it cuts off abruptly on Paramount Plus, but you can find the musical guest Blackstreet with Keenan from Everyday French. Pierre Escargot, like Chappelle mentioned, announces Blackstreet. They do the performance, and then like everybody comes out on the stage is like, thanks for watching, bye. But they cut it. They cut it on Paramount Plus.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They probably can't afford it.
It's weird that live music, like everyone should have the rights to. I understand like tape stuff, but it is weird that they didn't think of it back then. I'm sure now they do, but it just seems strange.
And those artists are huge now. Like the musical guests back then were like, they were big, but a lot of those names, like you say them and you automatically know who they were. Like you kind of question, why were you on this show of all things, you know? But so I don't think they can afford whatever rights they would have to get to be able to play those.
No, it wouldn't be worth it now to even, you know, they're too even like, it's probably not worth $1,000, but like,
Do we have any idea what the ratings were for any of these SNCC shows?
I mean, the show continued for a long time, so I'd imagine they were pretty good. I don't remember, like, cable ratings weren't, like, all over the place back then, so I don't know.
But would you think that, like, with, like, limited options, obviously, like, you have, like, this audience cornered, like, do you think that the ratings are, like, 5 million people?
Probably a little less, but still, like, you know, in the millions for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And speaking of ratings, I guess before we transition into our other show, the reason why Clarissa Explains It All works is because the executive said it couldn't be done. They said boys will never watch a show that is led by a young girl as a lead. Like it's going to tank in the ratings or whatever, because like, how are you going to get like boys to watch this? And Clarissa broke the mold. her just like sheer coolness was enough for them to like write a story around a girl that wasn't like this stereotypical like way that little teenage girls have been written to that point, to where it did draw in so many other people. And so they were able to keep a consistent like ratings. I guess, I don't know, they were able to to increase their demographic more than they ever had thought about. So Clarissa actually was one of the shows that kind of broke the mold in that way.
Okay, Clarissa explains it all, Sarah.
Yes. So this show is very near and dear to my heart. Like, I think that this was probably my favorite SNCC show. Clarissa was an icon to me, between her fashion, between her quirkiness. She was interesting. She was cool. I have a little beef with Ferguson, her brother, for obvious reasons.
What's your beef with Ferguson?
My last name is Ferguson. And I got ridiculed, particularly in the first and the second grade, because of my last name and Ferguson. And people used to say, "You're annoying, like Clarissa's brother, Ferguson."
Oh, wow.
Yep. So, I mean, I have beef with Ferguson, but Clarissa was definitely everything to me. And Chappelle's right. It's because she's not the standard girl. Like, she's unique and has interesting interests, and she's intelligent, and she doesn't, I mean, typically fawn over boys. Of course, this episode is Clarissa's crush.
She's a little boy crazy in this episode.
But we went an entire season one, majority wise, with her not talking about crushes. One of the most interesting things about Clarissa is her friendship with Sam. We don't really see a friendship with boys and girls that often that are completely platonic. And I will tell you, there was one episode where they almost explored it and it didn't happen, and these two never got together. And I think that that's very uncommon, especially as somebody that covers two 90s shows with boy and girl best friends that do get involved with each other. I think that is pretty monumental and very cool. It proves that boys and girls can be friends. The age old question.
Yeah. Clarissa is dope. And that's what the premise of the show is. They found the coolest girl that they could create or whatever. They interviewed people, they did their auditions, and they came across Melissa Joan Hart, another three namer, you know, for the bracket later on, I guess. I don't foresee them winning, but we'll see. But, you know, they get Melissa Joan Hart. And I guess in the interviewing process, they asked her like, "Oh, so, you know, you're like a 90s girl. Do you like New Kids on the Block?" And she said, "No, I hate them." And then she's like, "Oh, crap, I screwed up. Like, oh, my God, I just told this Hollywood guy that I hate like one of Hollywood's biggest acts. What am I going to do?" But they thought that was so dope that she wasn't like every other girl that you would see, no screaming teenager. She preferred They Might Be Giants. And so They Might Be Giants actually is a recurring bit in the show as well. They had posters of that. But it was just the reason why she was different than what we had seen before and then what people knew. And it worked. Clarissa was an icon, and to this day I think Melissa Joan Hart is probably best known for Clarissa.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's so hard to say, because she also did Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
It's close. It's like one and two. Like, she's like Clarissa the Teenage Witch.
But Clarissa had to walk so Sabrina's broom could fly.
Oh, exactly. That I'm gonna get that tattooed on me. That is like the best thing I've ever heard.
We love
Clarissa. The tattoo is Clarissa the words, or do you want maybe Clarissa explaining it all riding a broom? I think would be a pretty
I can't have the words. I think that I need like the Clarissa, and then I need the Sabrina. I need both. And then I won't be buried in the Jewish cemetery with my family.
Yes, okay.
That's a myth.
Gilbert Gottfried gets to the other side no matter what. So true to its name, Chappelle, Clarissa does explain it all, correct?
Yeah, she's constantly breaking the fourth wall. Like, that's just her thing. Like, she turns to you and tells you about her day. It's a very interesting spot that she's in, because she's in junior high. So she's not like a kid, like a rugrat, you know, where she's doing like little kid stuff. But she's also not in high school. So she's not like teetering into adult stuff. She's just in the middle. And so she's trying to let people in on what 13-year-old, 12-year-old girls are thinking. And she's got the technology to explain it all, because, I mean, her computer, the software that this girl has is outrageous. She creates video games as a drop of a hat. Sarah, talk to me.
Yeah, she creates video games. She's very tech savvy. She has two screens. How many screens do you have?
Akita, she's screening.
I know, that is wild. She's screening. The what's it called? First of all, like, this episode is such a... Can you explain the plot quickly? Because this is such a 90s sitcom plot. Every single show did a show that was exactly like this.
Yeah, so we have Clarissa, and like I said, she's not typically boy crazy, but she developed her first crush, and it is on Flip Fontana, the local weatherman. And she is so in love with Flip Fontana that she becomes obsessed with weather and all things weather, and she can't miss it. Quite like Ryan Gosling can't miss his radio show. She can't miss any single segment that Flip Fontana does. So she decides to start a club in relation to weather in hopes to maybe speak with him. And long story short, she winds up meeting Flip Fontana, but Flip Fontana is nothing like she thought he would be. He does not like weather. And in fact, he just wants to use weather as a stepping stone to become a Hollywood person, which totally makes Clarissa snap out of her crush and not like him anymore, because he is not like intelligent and into weather, and he's like vain. And that is kind of the moral of the story.
Weather vain, would you say?
I like that. I like Add it to the dad joke list. I loved it.
Unding the bell.
No, double ding the bell.
Don't double ding anything.
Ring a ling ling. I like that joke.
Yes. So, Sarah, I know you don't like the brother, but I feel like that Ferguson was incredible. Ferguson was a mood that he had one of the most punchable faces of all time.
He does have a punchable face. It's this little redhead kid that you just want to take by the face and just a little knock into the nose.
I wonder, Chappelle, do you think that Ferguson himself set back the red-headed people for a generation, where he was such a punchable face, Ferguson, that I wonder if that created, like, when you hear, like, that, because people, like, you know, say bad things about people with red hair. I feel like that Ferguson had a part to play in this.
He was such a heel. He was. They call him Ferg Face because his face is just that punchable.
And I've been called Ferg Face.
Really? Mm. Your face is not punchable. Stop it.
Ferg Face, Ferger Burger, Ferger Muffin, Fergie. It's not great.
Fergie's not,
wait. You like Fergie?
No.
Oh. Wow. Okay. All right. Okay. Noted. But yeah, Ferg Face here, not the one that we have, the lovely Ferguson, but this one, this is the one that sucks. Ferguson, darling. The endearing thing about Ferguson, there's not much, but Ferguson is very intelligent. Like, he speaks, I'll say he's more pompous than intelligent, but I think that's what always drew me to him. I'm like, I wish I used, you know, that type of language, you know, or vernacular when I was talking to my parents. It makes you feel more adult. He wears a suit or a sweater vest very often. Like, very fancy. His pants are huge though, and I do take offense to that. But yeah,
his bedroom it has tons of books.
Yeah,
because like Clarissa had the coolest bedroom, and Ferguson had like
so her friend
a library.
The window, no screens, no nothing. Okay. You gotta think that it's probably like 100 flies in Ferguson's in Clarissa's bedroom. No,
probably a very safe neighborhood too to just have the ladder open to the.
I want to know why this is the biggest 90s trope of all time, is the ladder at the window and your best friend climbing through.
Dawson's Creek.
We see in Dawson's Creek. We see it in Boy Meets World. We see in Clarissa Explains It All. There are no ladders at any window at my house at any point in time.
Imagine even pitching the idea. Like, Mom, can we go to Home Depot? I want to get like a giant ladder. So, you know... Yeah. No, boys can come in. Don't worry. It's platonic. I'm not into... He doesn't know this. I'm not into him at all.
Yeah.
It must be an interesting conversation.
I can't even imagine having two stories. Like what? There's an upstairs to your house? Okay, you got money. And then just the idea that I would have to ask my mom for, like, hey, I know you got, I just need this ladder real quick. Like, it's never happening. boy. And then for some reason, if by some reason somebody does end up in my room and she didn't know, oh, it's over. We're both dead. We're knocking on Gilbert Gottfried's window.
Chappelle, come on in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Also, Ferguson does not act again after that. It's Clarissa explains it all. And that is it for the Hollywood career of Jason Zimbler.
Yeah, blacklisted for life. He's like, you're Ferguson from Clarissa Explains All. You are annoying.
You think that's what it was? You think he was so hateable?
Yeah. Yes.
It was Joffrey Baratheon before it's time.
Career done. Mm-hmm. What is he doing? Is he a mathematician?
I don't know what he's doing.
He's a software designer.
Chappelle, do you know that Danny Tamborelli owned a bagel shop or works at a bagel shop in New Jersey? Like, my hometown.
Book the flight. I'm on the way. Do you understand that I have so many questions for Danny Tamborelli from over 20 years ago?
I can give you access to him. He lives like suspiciously close to my hometown.
If I get the cameos from Lori Beth Denberg and then I show up and play them for Danny, like, I feel like we could get an actual phone call or like a Zoom meeting going at this rate.
Yeah. So Danny Tamborelli was also in All That, by the way. And he had a show called P&P, The Adventures of P&P. So this is relevant, Akiva. I don't want you to be like upset that we're talking about Danny Tamborelli. Mm-hmm. Very relevant.
This is good.
Yeah. Okay. He was one of the Nickelodeon icons as well. Pete and Pete is largely considered one of the best shows to ever be on children's television because it takes the kids on a journey and it's very deep in ways that you wouldn't expect.
It's about a brother named Pete and his brother named Pete.
You don't need to explain it to me.
Oh, you know.
Oh, you were a Pete and Pete guy?
Yeah, I know all about it.
Okay.
The strongest man in the world.
Artie, yes, well, and Petunia, and she danced.
He really showed us up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, look at Rob getting into what the kids are talking about.
Yeah,
Rob, who was your first TV crush?
I'm trying to think. TV crush.
Good question.
Yeah, I'm trying to think from way back when.
I can go first.
Yeah, go first. Mm.
So I had number one, I had the hugest crush on Ethan Zahn, which is not a surprise. I also had a huge crush on Ben Savage, who was Corey Matthews, like the biggest, like I was in love with him. And then the only thing I have to say about that is that young me had a thing for brown curly hair, which I don't totally understand, but carries over into adulthood. So, Chappelle, do you know yours?
There were so many at the same time. I don't think there was ever like one just like that stuck out above the rest. So like, you know, like you had to hit the big ones like Topanga. I was like, everybody loved Topanga. Mm-hmm. And then I think Raven Simone and I are around the same age too. So there was like a phase where Raven was high on my list. Kyla Pratt, which that probably stands today. Like if I saw Kyla Pratt, I'd probably sell my brother into slavery or something just to talk to her. There are a few, but it was, like I say, it was kind of like simultaneous. I think my first adult crush, you know, like as a child that I was, I remember Selma Hayek in that vampire movie. And I was like, yep. Okay. We're here now. But yes, I think
mine was Jodie Sweetin.
Oh yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, Stephanie Tanner was the funniest.
Yeah.
She was the funniest. She was definitely the prettiest. So I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that, like maybe the ladies on The Price is Right was probably like the first, but I don't remember like particularly like a young person that I watched on television that I had, maybe like Kelly Kapowski. I don't know. Yes.
Probably.
But there's nobody that really jumps out to me as like the defining like TV actress of my childhood.
Did you have an old, were you like a Dame Judi Dench guy?
Yeah, Dame Judi Dench.
Handsome lady. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Helen Mirren. Okay. Listen, yes, let's make a list.
Yes.
To this day.
To this day, still.
To this day.
Yep.
Handsome woman. I love her. Tell Helen I say hello.
In this episode of Clarissa Explains It All, Clarissa is talking about how you know, she has a crush on Flip Fontana, and you know, she says it's not unusual for people to have something. She's talking about like I don't even remember how she gets into this, but she's going through a list of things as she's explaining it all. And Akiva, I thought that this was particularly interesting. Can I play a clip from the episode?
Please okay. do.
Here's Clarissa explaining it all.
Teddy bear. Then there was Chester. The puppy in the window at Pete's Pets. Chester was playful, adorable, and drooled only slightly more than your average guy. I never did get to take him home with me. Then of course...
Yeah. That was Chester.
Mm-hmm. I hear that all the time. He drools a lot.
I heard he's a big baby. Or is that Akiva? Anyway, mm-hmm. So she was listing her crushes.
Yes.
So her crushes to that point had all been basically animals. And inanimate okay. objects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, the teddy bear, Chester was, what, a cat or something?
A dog.
Chester's a dog.
The dog.
Elvis.
And then the last one was Elvis the alligator.
Elvis mm-hmm. the alligator.
She did have a pet alligator, and this was the episode. This was like their way of explaining where the pet alligator went.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't renewed.
Yeah, Elvis's contract was up, and he did not get to come back.
By the way, so I've been watching a lot of like '90s sitcoms between this and All of Family Matters, and the aforementioned Full House, starring Akiva's childhood crush. And boy, there is so much Elvis talk, Elvis humor, Elvis punchlines of jokes. That Elvis was just so prolific as a go-to punchline and all this stuff.
Is Elvis dead completely? I feel like you don't hear much about him anymore.
Oh, yeah. I think he's gone now, for sure.
Is the guy dead, or is it like Elvis as like a pop culture reference?
As a reference. You don't hear much about him.
Yeah, as a reference that I don't know what the last Elvis reference, but Elvis talk is so like ubiquitous through all of these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Elvis needs a comeback. Who's Ghost Elvis's PR team?
Well,
I think this is the opposite. I think it's like good that he's gone. I think we're better.
What is the modern day Elvis?
Macklemore? No, I'm kidding. It's not
Macklemore. So someone who should go away, you're saying?
No, like, somebody who is like the go-to joke now?
Oh, like just a running punchline, a person who just pops up in random shows, has mm-hmm. no business there. Oh man.
Yeah, or at least like referenced constantly.
Mm.
Maybe let the listeners weigh in on this.
Oprah
or Dopra?
Well, not anymore. Dopra. I don't think it's Dopra anymore. By the way, I think that was a podcast.
Okay.
Oh, I think that was a podcast that she was plugging going on. I'm not sure.
Oh, going on Oprah? Well, I think, and this is not to get, you know, political, but it probably is our former president, Donald Trump. You know, he's mm-hmm. such a topical reference now. Mm-hmm. You know, people just kind of make it offhand, whether it's positive or negative. I was watching Shameless the other day and I saw the Make America Great Again hats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and don't get me wrong, I am late to Shameless, but it is, you know, something that you see in television a lot these days. Just mm-hmm. Mr. Trump has made a name for himself in the popular culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's not a bad call.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He too can go away.
All right. So Flip Fontana, that Clarissa is very into him. She's making everybody watch the weather report so she can go and check out Flip Fontana in person. The family gets snowed in.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it was uncharacteristically warm, but it wound up snowing. And so they couldn't go on their hiking trip. And at the same time, Flip Fontana calls and says, hey, the Young Meteorological Society can come to the station and meet me. So they go. It's the only two people that are in this club is Sam, Clarissa's best friend, and Clarissa. And they wind up going to the news station to meet Flip Fontana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this isn't a situation where like, oh, Clarissa's got some nerdy group going on and nobody wants to be her friend because she's a dork. No. People want to join the club. Clarissa's that dope. It's just that the club kind of sucks. Like it's a club about weather.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They're like Flip Fontana.
Yeah, they're like, okay, it's for Clarissa, we'll join. And then like, oh, we're talking about weather. Not this time, girl. You know, call us next week. And so that's how Sam ends up getting roped in on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was a big Sam guy when I was younger. I thought I was Sam. Yeah. I'm not the lead.
Did you have a Clarissa that you would be platonic friends with and go hang out with?
I got a Clarissa now. Yeah. But like when I was younger, like I thought like I've never been the main character in any show that, you know, how you kind of like mm-hmm. skidoo yourself into these roles. I'm always like the friend. You know, like, I'm always like, oh, yeah, like, there's Corey and there's Sean. I'm probably more of a Sean, you know, or whatever, you know, but like, I've always been the sidekick. I don't know. Am I a sidekick now? Probably.
No, Chappelle, you're a main character. What are you talking about?
I'm literally Rob's sidekick and on our podcast.
Wow. Where's Rob, your sidekick?
I don't have a sidekick.
I think we put that on the
wheel.
Yeah.
We put that on the wheel.
Greatest sidekicks of all time.
That no. Or just get Finding Chappelle one.
Finding Chappelle's sidekick. Put it on. Where's the
Chappelle,
bell?
Do you want a sidekick?
I don't know if a sidekick can have a sidekick. You know, that's a lot.
You're a main character.
That's Chappelle. How you become
don't
a star.
Yeah, you have to get your own sidekick. Off.
Well, mm-hmm. Who was the last sidekick that got a sidekick? Like, where was the last spinoff that actually led to like a new like
Frasier?
Yeah. Joey.
Joey does not count. Stop it. I don't know.
Andrea DiMatteo or that other guy.
Maybe. Don't put it on the wheel, but maybe the listeners can tell. Tell us.
It's not bad to be a sidekick. I mean, like when Chappelle comes on, the audience, like, there's cheering.
That's because that little flashing, light comes on and says applause. Mm-hmm. You know, that they're just doing
clap
they're
now.
Doing. Yeah. Yeah, they're just sweet people. But no, I'm a sidekick. Mm-hmm. I was a Sam guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not Sam Moore, right?
Oh God, no! What? You know what? Sam is my sidekick.
That's right.
I have my own Sam. Who knew?
All right. So this is Clarissa goes down to go to the TV station. She meets Flip Fontana, and keep Flip Fontana is kind of a douche.
So, yeah, I think this is the Rod Belding episode, right? Where it's like, oh, this guy, like, we built him up to be this really cool guy. And then you meet him and it's such a disappointment.
Well, the Rod Belding, as we heard on the podcast Power Hour, I mean, Rod Belding was cool. And then it turned out that he was irresponsible. Like, he didn't follow up with his promises.
Right. So that, like, it makes him douchey where it's like, we're out on this person now. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing with Flip. I mean, he's not he wants to make it in Hollywood, which, like, I don't think that makes him like inherently bad, but he doesn't love weather the way that Clarissa.
Yeah, he wants to go to LA. He doesn't care about the weather.
He doesn't care about the weather. The weather is a stepping stone. Is the weather above sports? I guess it's the same tier as sports, but the weather is a stepping stone to the main newscast or be a, you know, then he wants to be a sidekick. Ironically, he said he wants to be like Ed McMahon.
It's like if you met Sarah Ferguson in person and like, Sarah, oh my God, I can't wait to talk to you. And like, I don't even care about the 90s.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I'm
just trying to podcast about true crime.
I was trying to be the next Serial. And then next thing I know, I'm podcasting about Boy Meets World. What happened to me?
The biggest fall off of all time. If I pay for this Lori Beth Denberg $25 cameo and she tells me she did not like that role on all that, that's it.
We're done.
Wrap it up. Done. God freed me now. Like, it's over.
Mm-hmm. We're going to cancel that transaction on PayPal.
Yeah, we're going to do something. I'm going to report it as fraud. I'm like, she owes me money at that point.
Yeah. Flip didn't even go to the right college to go to become a weatherman. He went to the weatherman sportscaster and game show host college. What a shame.
Rob, did you know that existed and how did you not end up there?
I would have gone there.
Of course.
Yeah.
You would have been like knocking on the doors like, this is my destiny.
Mm-hmm, please. Let me in.
Would you have done the weather, Rob? Would you think you would have done the weather?
Sure. I would have done.
You would have been fine with being a weatherman?
I would have been fine.
Would you be happy?
Yeah, I think that's a weatherman. Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. Fine and happy about the weather. The same thing.
I personally am not a big weather guy, so I don't know if I think I'd be living a lie as the weatherman.
Yeah, why? That you hate the weather?
It's just boring to me. Yeah,
boring.
You would rather be like a sports announcer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
You get to stand in front of the green screen and like,
I'd always be in the wrong spot. Yeah. I feel like.
I mean, it wouldn't be my first pick on the news set, but I feel like that it's a good spot. It's a good job.
I do want to point out,
people get very mad at you when you're wrong.
That's true. That's true. But you do get the pen where you can draw any picture on the map that you want. That's a lot of power.
Mm-hmm.
No one man should have all that power. But I think the takeaway from this moment is that Clarissa is not like meeting her in public and he's like mean to her by any means. It's just that she thought of him as like this deep weather like enthusiast, and that's what her crush was on. So it's not like she saw him and like went all starry-eyed because he's so handsome. She liked the person. Clarissa is a lady of substance. That's why she breaks the mold. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She liked the intelligence, the passion about a subject.
Yes.
She's passionate. So yeah.
They don't make them like Clarissa no more.
They don't. But then, I mean, so then she says that she lost her crush on Flip, but then she sees the sportscaster and now she's all in on sports.
Yeah. Akiva, who's the hottest guy in sports broadcasting?
The hottest guy in sports. Have you seen Gus Johnson lately? He's jacked. He's like 52. But I'm trying to think who's the hot. Tony Romo probably is.
Tony Romo? Pretty good looking. I mean, I feel Tony Romo is more cute than hot.
Hey, he landed Jessica Simpson for a while. I don't know.
Does he still have those pasta restaurants?
Yeah.
Chappelle, you have it? I'm trying to think. Like, who else is
there? Alexander Chester. I hear he's a handsome one.
Yeah. I've seen that.
The streets say he's a looker. Yeah, the streets say he's a looker.
A John Sterling.
John Sterling is like 100. I mean, maybe.
He really is. I don't know how he got so old. It's pretty incredible.
John Sterling goes home every day. Watches soap operas. I think doesn't own a smartphone. He's an interesting guy, John Sterling. It's the Yankees announcer, for people who don't know that is.
Yeah.
Does Kerry Champion count? Because yes, God.
Okay. I think naming dudes. There,
I know, but I just had to say that out loud. Yeah.
We only objectify men on this podcast, Chappelle.
It's true.
I wasn't objectifying her. I was just saying, yes, God. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. In case she listens,
I just want to be on record. And I'm sure she's married, but I don't care. Mm-hmm. I said it.
Break up that marriage.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Would love to hear the takes for the hottest guys in sports broadcasting.
Hot sportscaster more.
Yeah.
Look, we're coming up on bracket season. We're two and a half months away. Look, it's time. Start to prepare the bracket. Mm-hmm. Put Chester on the wheel.
Yeah.
The dog.
Anything else, Rob? Chester the dog.
No.
Anything else from SNCC?
I think I'm good on SNCC.
Well, mm-hmm. I do want to rank quickly. I would love to rank the theme songs because
is it Mark Sanchez, Akiva?
Oh, that's true. He is pretty dreamy, but that's not a bad call. He's got to have a little bit more success first, but that's a good call. Greg Olson, I don't know.
Okay.
Do you want to rank the theme songs?
I would love to.
We should listen to all of them, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, let's listen to them.
All right, so Are You Afraid of the Dark theme song, okay? This was pretty iconic. It did come back to me as I was listening to the episode. Here we go. Here's a Are You Afraid of the Dark theme song. The visual is also pretty iconic. The swing set. Oh, creepy doll. I hated the doll. The match.
So scary.
You know, to go back to the TV theme song bracket, I feel like that this is one of them where Chester, not the dog, would say, you have to watch it also. Just the song itself is not iconic. The visuals, I think, are pretty iconic of the Are You Afraid of the Dark?
I don't think you bring that up for another year or so because, you know, it gets spicy around TV theme song bracket time. And it's because of that very man, Alexander Chester.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's see. All that opening theme song. Okay. Here is the one that looks similar to what we watched on this episode. Let me hit play on this.
Yeah. Do the shortest one.
Stop. Look and watch. Ready yet? Get set. It's all that.
Got some like racquetball happening and a trampoline.
A lot of jumping.
Mary Beth Denberg.
It's very 90s. Like the fashion is very 90s. My posse and my crew. So sit still, 'cause we come around like that.
feel like every kid went to school. It's like, I'm one of the kids in that song, singing into all that.
So good. It is so good.
Tough to beat.
Tough to beat. But up next, I mean, this is the song.
Okay. All right, here we go. Let's listen to a little bit of Clarissa explaining it all. Hey, cool.
Just do it.
Akiva, Clarissa's dad seemed like kind of a loser, right?
Yeah, he sucks. Clarissa's dad sucks.
Yeah, Clarissa's mom, I think, probably could have done better.
Maybe that's like the season finale. She leaves him
for a cool guy.
He's an architect. If you're an architect, you're too busy to have a personality. She's a museum curator.
Yeah, I guess this is a theme like on a lot of these shows. The dad seems like kind of a loser.
The dad is dope.
Just like on Alf. Remember what a loser that guy seemed like?
Oh, that guy sucked. He's one of my least favorite Renap characters, that guy.
Yeah. Clarissa, Clarissa had the most iconic fashion of all time. I do want to point that out for anybody that's a fashion aficionado. Love the fashion. But Akiva, what do you think is the best theme song out of this three?
It's definitely not Are You Afraid of the Dark. All that is great. And Clarissa's great, but the nanas go on a little too long. Yeah. That's my only take. If you could cut it to 20 seconds, that's the best one, but it is a little long.
So, I feel like that, this is an interesting, fictional battle. Was there a rivalry between, Blossom and Clarissa?
How dare you?
Blossom comes along in 1990. Were they allies, Blossom and Clarissa?
Have you ever seen the Soleil Moon Frye documentary?
I have not.
That came out. So she had like all these videotapes of her hanging out with like 90s celebrities, and she like recorded them and like would play this in this documentary. And I'm pretty sure Melissa Joan Hart might have been in some of the tapes, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Melissa Joan Hart was originally offered the role of Jenna Vannoy's character, I think. I don't remember her name. Was it six? Yeah, she was offered the role, but she turned it down to take on the lead role of Clarissa instead. Okay. So there is a little crossover, but I don't think it's a rivalry.
Okay.
However, I will say that Blossom theme song is a tough one to beat, too. The three of these songs right here, you know, we can exclude Are You Afraid of the Dark? But if you slide in Blossom, I think this is a tough competition.
Blossom theme song? Okay.
I made a mistake. Soleil Moon Frye was Punky Brewster.
Yeah,
and Punky Brewster.
I thought Soleil Moon Frye knew everybody. I thought you were going to say.
She really didn't know anybody.
she hung out with all like the 90s women actresses. Yeah, and you were going to tell me like there was like a rivalry.
Yeah.
They were like the Tupac and Biggie of the 90s, maybe, or something like that.
I guess the Tupac and Biggie were the Tupac and Biggie of the 90s, but
yeah.
90s. I don't know. I can't speak for Blossom, but Punky was okay. With Melissa. And that documentary, by the way, was Kid 90, and you can watch it on Hulu.
Okay, here's a Blossom opening theme song.
Don't know about the future, that's anybody's guess. Ain't no good reason for getting all depressed. Buy up your pad and pencil, I give you a piece of my mind. In my opinion, the sun is gonna surely shine. Stop all your fussing,
slap on a smile. Come out and walk in the sun for a while. Don't fight the feeling, you know you wanna have a good time. And in my opinion, nation, the sun is gonna surely shine.
If I hey.
Yeah, they ate in 1990.
They did. I don't know. I don't think it competes.
If I had to pick, but I'm talking. If I'm picking strictly Blossom or Clarissa, I'm gonna say that give me Clarissa. I found Blossom to be a little too precocious for me.
Who wore better hats?
Yeah.
Ooh. Clarissa.
Blossom. No, you can't be Clarissa. Blossom. That her thing is hats.
Yeah, but Clarissa. I don't know, but I agree with you on the theme song. I as much as I like the Blossom theme song, I think Clarissa is better, but the Blossom theme song is just underrated. I just don't understand why people don't give it what it deserves.
Who would be better at hosting Jeopardy? Because Clarissa would be explaining it all.
Yeah, Clarissa probably would. Mm-hmm. Ferguson would be the best.
Oh my God. If
actually, no, you're wrong.
Actually, I think that that's what he's been holding out for all this time. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the gig that the actor wants, is the Jeopardy gig.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Give him a chance.
All right. Yeah. Akiva, anything else on SNCC?
Let's hit the mailbag.
Okay. All right. So we're going to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to be talking about the mailbag. By the way, Sarah, Chappelle, are either of you taking off before the mailbag?
Nah,
all right.
As if.
We'll be back with the core four coming up on this week's mailbag on Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast, right after this. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. That's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com and get a quote and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. All right, we are back with a mailbag here for Robin and Community Podcast, episode number 158. And Akiva, just like SNCC, we're recording this podcast and it's Saturday night. Get on the big orange couch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's prime time.
It's big
time.
And it's orange and it's the mailbag again.
It's big, it's orange, and it's mailbag again. Okay. That's going to take off. That's good.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to here. A lot of, past business, but we do have two guests here. So I did want to maybe start with our guests and ask them if they have any ideas or suggestions for the mailbag.
Yeah, I do. Have you, either of you, ever explored the world of Pretty Little Liars?
Because
this is a show that you have to tap into. When I say there's murder, there's mystery, there's intrigue. Mm-hmm. There are girls that never go to the cops, even when they're supposed to go to the cops. It is insanity. And this show is like off the wall crazy.
So I was getting this confused with what was the Nicole Kidman show? Big Little Lies?
Big Little Lies.
Similar show. It's a spinoff.
Okay. No, it's not.
Definitely not. No, Pretty Little Liars.
Joking. Akiva's kidding. That was an Akiva joke. Yeah.
It's an ABC family show that was, I think it started in 2007. It was a book series first. There's like 20 books. I've read them all.
2010.
Okay.
Gosh.
2010.
PLL.
Okay. Well, it is the craziest show because they go so off the wall nuts. Like
ABC Family, they're going off the wall nuts. Mm-hmm.
Oh my, no, this is the craziest show on ABC Family that ever existed. One storyline they found. So if you don't know what Pretty Little Liars is, it's about four girls that had a best friend, Allison, who disappeared. And then they start
like Desperate Housewives.
Maybe they start receiving mm-hmm. mysterious texts and messages from this girl or this person named A, and they know secrets about them. And they think that it's their old best friend, but their old best friend is found dead. Mm-hmm. So somebody knows all these secrets about them, and she torments them. So it goes from like they get hit by cars, they had a dental appointment. Yeah, just like Claire, there's a dental appointment where they found like a threatening letter in their tooth. Like, it is awful.
When you said they found a
crazy
letter in their tooth.
Yeah, elaborate, please.
Okay. So this one girl, Hannah, is going to the dentist and she's like gets passed out with like laughing gas or something. And she wakes up and she's like, oh my gosh, like I feel something in my tooth. Like my tooth is hurting me. So she like uses a toothpick and she pulls out a scrolled letter that was stuck in their tooth that A put in there. And she reads it.
And then she read it with like a microscope.
She read it and it's like, you're dead or whatever the letter
said. You're dead.
Like, it's, no, but it's crazy. Like, it is off the wall nuts. So I propose that we either, you could do season 3, episode 7, or this can be a whole big thing because there are insane storylines. Mm. Chappelle, have you ever watched Pretty Little Liars?
I have seen the first episode. And when I tell you, it was a mistake. Pretty Little Liars is unhinged. The premise of the show is that our friend is missing or dies or whatever, and we have to find out who A is because A is probably the person who did it. And throughout the series, there's like 17 different A's. Like, yes. It goes on forever. It goes on forever, and every week, ABC Family hints that this is the week we're going to find out who A is. And every week, it probably is.
Did that to us a lot. There's these crazy... like these crazy Halloween episodes. There's, and then it gets like, it's saucy too. There's definitely saucy episodes. It saucy. Is like probably the best ABC Family show that's ever existed.
And also the worst ABC Family show that ever existed.
It's
Let me be
best
very clear.
And the worst. It controlled my life for a very long time.
Right. And I would be a horrible person if I did not say Kirsten McInnes would stab us all if she was not submitted as one of the guests.
All right. Now,
if not the expert on this show,
let's check back in with Akiva, who's been a little silent during this explanation.
I'm listening.
No doubt.
I don't know anything about Pretty Little Liars.
I didn't think you went on. you put the thing on mute. Okay.
Mm-mm. She will murder you.
All right.
Akiva.
All right.
Also Akiva has a great theme song, by the way.
How are you feeling about all this?
Okay. Here's my thought. I think it's a season 3, episode 7. If the episode works, someone needs to watch the episode, which is called Crazy, ironically, which Sarah keeps calling the show. And if that is good, I'm happy to put it in the fishbowl.
I do not think we replaced a season 3, episode 7 since Sopranos came out.
Yeah. So we have a spot, but I want to give it a week. I think what we need to do going forward is we need to make sure that the shows are, the episodes themselves are worthwhile. Sometimes it's a good show, but it's a miss of the episode.
Okay.
So I assure you, Kirsten will be in touch.
Okay. All right. So... going back to last week, there were some things that were talked about that we wanted to follow up on. And so this works out great that Chappelle is here. Chappelle, Sister Act 3 is coming to Netflix. And I said that I didn't want to, because of course, this is the podcast where we stan Whoopi. But
we do.
It's a Netflix thing. Has anybody already reached out to you on Nothing But Netflix about, hey, I call dibs on Sister Act 3?
Sadly, no. No one has told me that they wanted to be the Sister Act expert. You all talked about Sister Act 1, right?
We never talked about it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I would. I am afraid of what Sister Act 3 might be. Mm-hmm.
Tyler Perry is working on. I'm not sure if it's just being filmed at his studio or if he is a producer on it.
Okay, depending on his level
last
of interest.
Week on Fallon.
He's not making the movie. I don't. He's not like the director or anything.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm terrified of what the film might be. But if you wanted to put Sister Act 3 on the wheel, I wouldn't be mad at it. Or you could put Sister Act 2 on the wheel, and then you and I could talk about Sister Act 3 on Nothing But Netflix.
Yeah,
it could be Sister Act week.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, it'd be hard to time. Like, I feel like that Nothing But Netflix week at time to talk about Sister Act 3 when it comes out. But I'm wondering, like, how we should coincide all of this.
Maybe we'll do a bonus episode or something.
Just do the opposite. Whenever
I got it,
we'll go on Netflix and watch Sister Act 3.
No, the whole point of Nothing But Netflix is you watch things when they're new, when they come out. Nobody's going to want to hear us talk about Sister Act 3.
Is it the whole point? I thought it was like
just Seinfeld? Netflix.
Some weeks it's old stuff.
Well, yeah, Seinfeld, when it dropped, that was the idea. That
On Netflix.
New on Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. It would probably be harder to time the two of them. But yeah, it doesn't have to be Sister Act week. But yeah, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
All right, we'll circle back when we get closer.
When the show, when it gets announced, when the movie's coming out.
Okay. All right. Then also, Chappelle, do you remember when Akiva was supposed to let us know he was going to check out, he had to vet Mystery from the pickup artist, if that was going to be a thing? Mm-hmm. And that was like 2 months ago. Akiva, have you gotten done with checking out to see if Robin Akiva, our pickup artist, can go on the wheel?
To be honest, like, my vetting is like somebody a lot of times will mention somebody, and then someone will DM us or head people at us and say that person is canceled, but nobody did it here, so I think we're fine.
Okay. All right. So
what are we doing with Mystery?
We're watching the show. We're watching
the pickup artist.
Is that in the fishbowl, or is that
I think it's on the wheel spot?
Okay. It was supposed to be, I don't think it ever made it anywhere because Akiva was supposed to go vet it first.
No, but we're saying where should it be?
It's not the fishbowl. I think it's on the wheel. Robin and Akiva are pickup artists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Should we try and speak to a pickup artist also?
I don't think we need to. I think we're going
to want to speak to him.
Do we know a pickup artist?
If somebody knows a pickup artist, let us know.
I mean, chances are, I don't think that there are people out there that are publicly admitting they're pickup artists.
I mean, why not? I'm sure Mystery did.
I guess, Sarah, if we can find a person who is a self-proclaimed pickup artist, should we interview them?
Absolutely. I think so. I think that's a necessity. Or like somebody, or like a matchmaker, like a Hitch type of character.
A Hitch?
Yeah, Hitch.
We watch Hitch.
Hitch.
Yeah. Okay. What if we could get Kevin James instead of Hitch?
I mean, that would work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, pretty much, I think that it's a great idea. So.
So if somebody was the real life Hitch or a pickup artist.
Yes.
Yeah. Pickup artist is kind of like a sandwich artist.
What does that mean?
Meaning?
I feel like it's kind of a fancy name for what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's kind of, he's made it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it sound like,
well, what is it really? Like a scammer? It should really be like a scammer. What are the pickup artists doing?
Flirting, right?
A professional flirter?
Mm-hmm. Are you a professional flirter? Mm-hmm. I definitely am not that.
Good at getting dates. That's what they. That is their skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Getting dates.
That is not something that I'm putting on my LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Rob and Akiva are pickup artists, and we're gonna watch the season of the show.
No.
I don't think it was the whole season, but the mystery, by the way, also has appeared to like denounce the concept of being a pickup artist now. So, well, I mean, it's fine. We're not endorsing.
The show still existed.
Yeah. No, we could watch it. I'm just saying that's interesting. So we're not endorsing it, but it is interesting.
Does he want to come on and then...
Probably not. We could ask him.
Yeah. Okay. Robin Akiva are pickup artists.
At least just watch the show and then we can worry about who you're going to get as the guest later on. I'm sure John isn't busy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the pickup artist, a couple other things from the last few weeks to discuss. People liked the five spot. So I think we're going to add the five spot. Let's. I don't know if we're going to add it this week. Let's talk about it.
Well, people should send in their ideas for suggestions for this five spot. I know on the Renap subreddit, people were throwing some ideas around for shows.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I have a number of ideas and we'll go through them. The nightly news.
The nightly news? No, that sounds like the worst idea for the five spot.
It's too sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody says Daily Blast Live. It's a daily talk show that discusses trending topics. There's a lot of social media interaction. Jeff from Big Brother and Amazing Race is on there.
Yeah, that's probably a pass also.
That's a pass. Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune from Alex?
That might be interesting. I think that Jeopardy, I think, has a little bit more meat on the bone than Wheel of Fortune for the week.
Yeah, I don't know what we talk about. Wheel of Fortune's really the same every week. You don't get...
Mm-hmm. I actually think that Wheel of Fortune might be a good for, like, I think that the puzzles would give us like some structured banter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. What are y'all going to talk about for Jeopardy?
Just like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think there's
a lot of money.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot on Jeopardy either, honestly.
I think Wheel of Fortune might have more.
Do they get fun facts on Wheel of Fortune like they do on Jeopardy?
I think it's more like they tell a little bit about themselves. Yeah,
it's more like, but it's not like, hey, Pat's saying like, hey, I hear you're the number one collector of Cleveland Cavaliers basketball cards. It's more like, hey, what's your job? I think, right? I'm a stay-at-home mom.
I don't think that they are really box themselves in with the banter.
All right, so Wheel of Fortune is an option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Others, a lot of people suggested the other soap operas. I think we should hold off for now.
Let's
we
hold
just
off
did.
On that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see a lot of other talk show ideas also. Yeah.
So what
about...
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. What about like Entertainment Tonight or one of the celebrity gossip shows? Because you both are so great at talking about Machine Gun Kelly and Pete Davidson.
That's true.
Can you imagine talking about celebrity news every day? I think that would be great for you.
Celebrity
too.
News, Akiva?
I do think it's a good idea. I think those shows are like so dead. Are people going to be excited if it's like Entertainment?
But don't you want to know what they're talking about?
No, it's about what they're talking about. We don't care about who they are.
I know, but I do think a little bit, after 3+ years of the show, I think a little bit of it is like people get excited about the IP or whatever of it. Like, oh, I love this thing, And so it is a good idea. I'm just trying to think like, was TMZ a better option than Entertainment Tonight even?
Regardless, I think Sarah could take you through that. I think that's Sarah's wheelhouse.
I know we could make good stuff. I think also
ET might be a little bit more interesting because I think that it's worth asking the question of like, who is the target demo for this? Like, I feel like that the average Entertainment Tonight viewer, I think, is probably like between like 55 and 70, if I had to guess. So it's curious to know, like, who are they programming Entertainment Tonight? Like, there's not one person under 40 who watches Entertainment Tonight.
Right. So we could think about that. I will say the idea of having to watch 5 of those shows.
I don't even know what
is making me
them.
A little queasy. Yeah. And like, we'd have to watch them live. I don't think that they're like, so that is an issue.
I have YouTube.
We might need one.
I'm sure I could like set a season pass.
Nobody
the
has
Kelly, the Kelly Clarkson show.
No.
That's not that
which
exciting.
Is like the new Ellen.
What about Drew Kelly's Barrymore's good. Show?
Oh, Drew has a show?
Drew Barrymore has a talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. I didn't know about that.
So it's the same as every other talk show.
It's like the Kelly Clarkson show.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing, except with a lisp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without the singing.
All right, so send us in more ideas. I think we'll know when
we'll
hear.
Put it on next week. I'm trying to think of any other ideas were sent in that were good. Some of the judge shows people sent in, the Judy is gone, but some of the remaining judge shows people were very into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some wild ones. Akiva, I've been seeing buzz about Bollywood coming back. Are y'all running from the idea? Do you have an issue?
I don't have an issue with Bollywood. We had Stands to pick a movie. No,
Sasha couldn't pick a movie and she would do a spectacular job.
She did. No, Sasha did a great job sort of telling us which movies to pick. I don't know. I just think like, first of all, right now, I don't have time probably to watch the Bollywood movie.
Oh, but, they're like 9 hours long.
They're long, also, I don't know. Like, I don't think we're going to be making fun of it. So what? I'm not sure.
Sasha said that they are wacky. And so watch it on 2X. She'll fill you in on all the things you miss. Matter of fact, watch it on 3X. Make that the bit. Y'all 3X. Watch it on 3X. Sasha will come in and fill in the blanks for you.
Yeah,
people love the
3X. I've 3X. I do. Let me talk to Sasha this week, and then
I think we need to throw some culture back. Into Renap.
Mm-hmm. Could use it.
Mm-hmm. We can all use some culture.
Yeah.
So we can definitely talk about that this week. A couple other things people suggested. We in terms of weekly shows. Yeah. Oh, Family Feud was also suggested.
Oh, interesting. Mm. Okay.
I think that's good. I think Family Feud might be better than Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you could talk about the families.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to talk about
some of the wacky suggestions. Mm-hmm. We have done a lot of Family Feud stuff on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we that's have an idea.
Also, Sarah, Rob and Akiva are Chugi. We're trying to get Gen Z catchphrases.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I would love that. That would be so much fun. Ever since I heard about Chugi, I was like, they got me clocked. They're like, I was looking at like this list of like what makes you chuggy, and it's like Lily Pulitzer monograms and shit. Mm-hmm. And then like, I literally all of my planners are Lily Pulitzer monogrammed planners. I'm like, you got me good.
Mm-hmm.
You got me good, Gen Z.
Also, using the word chuggy unironically is chuggy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very chuggy, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to talk about Gen Z slang or, I don't know, whatever they want to lay on you with that.
Okay. What else, Kiva?
Here I have something from Felipe. It's called the Twitter Trial of Fifth Wheel Nav. It's We haven't talked to Fifth Wheel Navi in a while.
Trial of Fifth Wheel Navi.
Yeah.
Oh,
Navi.
Okay.
Our friend Navi.
Yes, okay.
Felipe says Navi has been suspended from Twitter for 2 months. Nobody knows why. The podcast could be a scripted courtroom story or just discussion about how to get Navi unbanned from Twitter.
She does. She got banned by Twitter, and we're trying to figure out why.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to interview her
or something like that. I don't know.
I bet her boss did it.
You think her boss
hates her doing podcasts and blames mm-hmm. us, right?
Yes. Yeah. You think Navi still listens? We haven't heard from her in a while.
Navi definitely listens.
Okay. Navi, so if you're out there, let me know. Hit me up and let's see if we can try intrigued. And help you.
I'm intrigued, but mm-hmm. I feel like that this is almost like that. Like you don't want us doing the investigation. This is like like Lindsay Wilson should be like doing like mm-hmm. the story behind it, and then we're responding to it.
Lindsay Wilson is a doctor in training. She does not mm-hmm. have time right now. I will speak for her in mm-hmm. this moment. Just let her speak for herself,
Chappelle.
Listen, yeah. as her assistant,
I will spend our listeners' time however we yes. want to.
I am one of her many sidekicks. Mm-hmm. She's one of my many, primary main superheroes.
Kicks. Yeah.
Yeah, main kicks. And I will tell you that she is very busy and that she probably does not have time to investigate that, but y'all can do it. Yeah. I think of Felipe, this is not a bad idea.
I mean, she did spend a couple hours talking about the Olsen twins with us a couple of weeks ago.
All right, Navi, hit me up and tell me what's going on and then we'll talk about it. I know that I had not seen her on Twitter in a while, but I didn't realize
banned.
She was banned.
It really is a mystery. I've asked her about it as well, and she does not know why.
Like they just get an email from Twitter one day. You have a 2 month ban.
You get like an
she
alert.
Can't when log
you
in.
Sign in. Yeah,
and it tells you when you can come back.
It's indefinite. We don't know when.
It seems like a permanent ban. If it's 2 months, probably a permanent ban.
Yeah, we don't know when, and we don't know why.
Yeah, Navi does have a new account, but I didn't follow it for the meme. But I also didn't follow it because I thought it was going to be like a spam or something. I didn't know at first because it's not like Navi announced that they had gotten a new account. It just mm-hmm. it popped up. And so I was like, yeah, this is a real life mystery. This is a true crime segment waiting to happen.
Okay.
Okay.
What else, Kiwi?
Okay, this is good. Alex says, Robin Akiva adopt a kid. And this is Robin Akiva meet with kids or teens. In order to pick the official child of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast.
Y'all ain't got enough kids.
We got a lot of kids.
Between the two of y'all, this is a small
we have many. Between the two of us, we have many.
Mm-hmm. Many children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Many. I don't think we should have kids on the podcast. I mean, we barely like it if our own kids come on the podcast.
It's true. And also, if we had an official kid, it would be Matt, our friend Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's already done. That was mm-hmm. a good try, but I think we got to go deeper than that one. We can't. Yeah.
Okay, this is from Dan Sinansky. Dan Sinansky, one of our most loyal writer-zinners.
Yes.
He says, it's called Robin Akiva Forgive, Forget, or Forget, or something like that. Anyway.
Robin Akiva Forgive, Forget, or Forget? What is that? Is that a joke?
You forgot. He's going to explain.
I don't understand the title. But
This sounds like the chuggiest podcast episode title I've ever heard.
Okay.
You would think that.
He suggests, Robin Akiva air listener submissions of grievances that were committed against them. Then decide on whether to tell the listener to forgive the person who wronged them. Forget the grievance. The listener was in the wrong or it's not worth forgiving the person.
Drop the four, keep the one.
Or forget the person who wronged them by getting revenge.
Forget them like in the CeeLo Green sort of way.
Rob, are you reading? He says forget is in question marks like the radio edit of that CeeLo Green mm-hmm. song. You're inside Dan Sinansky's mind. Head. I like this. I know I don't love the title, even though I like that you picked up on what he was mm-hmm. selling. But I like this. I think we'll get listener grievances.
Can we have a live in-studio band to play the song?
Well, I think we'll just play it every time.
Like Will from America or something?
Will Comma Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we could get one of the musicians to play the song.
We could have like a mm-hmm. dream team band. Yeah.
Yeah, we could get a band to play the song, but I like this idea. I think grievances are, and also it is
forgive
it is festive season
or
now.
Forget them.
Mm-hmm.
I like this.
Grudge or not to grudge.
All right. I'll shout out the form for this on a day this week. I don't want to promise Monday, but I will try to do it Monday.
Okay. Nice.
Do you have a grievance that you want to send in? You're like...
Forget you. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yes, Akiva, sing.
Forgive or forget. I love it. It's on the wheel. Listen, the wheel is dummy thin, as we've been saying.
Yeah.
We're expanding a little bit. We'll add the five spot
wheel,
next week.
Eat. Come on. You're too thin.
You look emaciated. Here's a latke. All right. Here come we go. On. Want one more idea?
Sure.
Yeah.
This has been pitched a bunch of times, but this is from in different forms. This is from Matthew. He says, am I an expert? You will have listeners on who are either an expert on a certain topic that we don't know about, or they're a fake expert, and we have to determine if they're
didn't
an
we
expert
have
the, or if
like,
they're faking.
Like this idea five different ways?
That's what I said. Yeah, I didn't. Okay. But like, I mean, I don't dislike this idea.
All right, so why isn't it on the wheel?
Well, we have to find the experts first.
Go on.
I need someone to be like, I'm going to find the experts. And then I need someone to like, because I can't do it because then I'm spoiled. It's one of those episodes. I need someone. All
right, fine. Then I'm going to find the experts.
Are you going to find the experts, Sarah?
Yeah, I'll help you. Okay. I'll find the experts.
Fine. It's all right.
Yeah, the wheel's so starving. No, no, no. I'm a responsible person.
Okay, great.
All right,
so Sarah's
going to
find the experts. Yeah. And what kind of experts are we looking for, Rob? Is this a profession? Like, hey, you're really an architect. Sarah said all architects are so busy and smart.
I'm a sandwich artist. I'm a pickup artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sandwich artist, pickup artist, and architect.
How many sandwich artists have you met recently, and why is this in your mind?
Because we were talking about pickup artists. Yeah.
But sandwich artists?
When was the last time you went to a Subway, Rob?
Yeah.
Ah, boy, it was probably pre-COVID.
Did you get the tuna?
No, it's
not real tuna. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Meatball marinara is the way.
I think this was a productive mailbag.
Yeah, I would probably get I get the grilled chicken.
Yeah.
And then I get like tomatoes and mozzarella and then like the marinara sauce and then I would toast it.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great.
That's good. Yeah, that sounds good. I'm actually hungry.
Yeah. Boom.
Kind of hungry now.
Call it the Rob.
The wrong right, sandwich. Okay. All right.
Want to get to the wheel?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. All right. Episode number 159 is coming up. Let's talk about what's on the wheel. Season 3, episode 7. The coin flip. Crappy movie diaper. Guest choice. Robin Akiva write a kid's book. I'm not feeling the writing a kid's book as much as I was when we first did it. I mean, I think it'll be a big seller, but... You know, creatively, I'm not as excited about it.
I think people will give us ideas. We'll be fine. Okay. I hear what you're saying. If you want to take it off, I won't like cry.
No, we're too dummy skinny right now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Commentary of William.
By the way, you do have your veto. So you know what? You're not in the mood for it.
Yeah.
It's December 12th. We could veto 7 things if we want.
Mm-hmm.
We never use the vetoes before the holiday season.
Mm-hmm. So. We save them for that special time of year. The human lie detector. Yes. Remind me, what are we doing? Chappelle, are you involved with the human lie detector?
No. I have
LaTanya
nothing to do with that.
Can tell if anybody's lying and then people are going to come on and then lie to LaTanya?
And me and you, yes. It's going to be me, you, and
LaTanya.
Yes.
My name only came
production.
Up. Yeah, my name only came up because LaTanya felt like they could... like determine if I am a liar.
Do we have liars in waiting, Akiva?
I think we have liars in waiting.
Okay.
Chappelle, but why did she
liars?
Chappelle, why did like does she think you're a big liar? Is that or she just wants to you to answer a few questions?
Yeah, she just wants to interrogate me and see and try to get in my business. But LaTanya definitely can tell if I'm lying. So I don't think that it won't work for the bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's too easy.
100% accuracy. Right.
Fiverr goes west. We're going to look up people on Fiverr. The Renap recap. We're going to listen to an old episode of Robin Akiva the podcast and then talk about what happened. But Akiva wants to actually listen to the podcast. I think we should just listen to it and then tell people what happened.
I think we can do that, but we should play a couple clips.
I think that's a good idea. Like we don't listen to the whole thing. We can play clips and then talk about the clips. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Then Robin Akiva are pickup artists, and then forgive or forget you. I think that's the best idea we've added in a while.
Yeah, that's very good.
Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and save the settings, and then we will spin the wheel. All right. Here we go. Mm-hmm. Episode number 159 next week.
And we have 3 vetoes, right? We didn't lose that was last year when we lost our best friend's veto, right?
We got a guest choice.
Wow.
First time one ever.
We asked the guest.
This is so exciting.
Now, but we have two guests.
You too.
Okay.
I think that we should have you both pick something that say it on the count of three.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why don't you think about it? Do you need to hear the list again, or do you have something in mind?
I think I know.
As Sarah's sidekick, I will defer, actually.
Okay.
No, that's not fun.
No. Let's go 1, 2, 3.
Chappelle, how about this? If you defer, I auto veto whatever she says then.
Ooh. But then it's still guest choice though. So I got to pick, right?
No, then with veto, we spin the wheel again.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't defer then. So what are the options?
Sour grape.
I'm not a sour grape. No, why would you say that?
Mm-hmm. Well, Tanya determined that was a lie.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God. Okay. What are the options again?
Okay. Season 3, episode 7. So how would that, would the guest be able to go directly to pick a, one of the balls? No,
that would just be the fishbowl.
Okay. Coin flip. That's unnecessary. Crappy movie diaper. Robert Keefe read a kid's book, movie commentary, human lie detector, Fiverr Goes West, or the Renap recap.
Okay. I think I got mine.
Okay.
Is this like a prisoner's dilemma thing? If we say different things, is there a consequence? If we say the same thing?
Yes. It's a Monty Hall problem. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
You do a coin flip of the two things we say.
Yes. Right. So we got a 66% chance of getting the one we want.
Okay. All right. So here we go. I will count up 1, 2, 3, and then on three, then you will tell us your answer. Okay. Ready?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3.
Fiverr Goes West.
Now recapper.
Oh. Okay.
So Fiverr Goes West.
Mm-hmm.
Renap recap.
Yeah.
So now bring in Christian Hubicki to explain the rules of the Monty Hall.
What do we say if there's a tie? Do we have any? Is there any sort of mechanism?
Okay,
now
Akiva and I should both, on the count of three, put in our votes.
Oh,
okay?
So fun.
But y'all have to guess. Y'all only get to pick between the two that we gave you.
Right. Yeah. That's true. And so we both are going to say which one of the two we want. And then if we have another tie, then I don't know what we do.
Coin toss.
Then the podcast is broken. Okay.
Yeah, should we go? How about? Didn't we say we'd go on Twitter Spaces and the first person to come on?
No. We're not set up for that. Okay.
Okay. Fine. Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
Okay. We're so close to having a great episode.
What if I tweeted it out? If this is a tie.
If that's what you want to do. It is. Okay. It's Saturday.
Kiva. I don't mean a poll. I mean like somebody.
Yeah.
I just need one person to come on the air with us.
Okay.
All right. Chappelle, count us down, please.
Oh, one.
Renap recap. Fiverr Goes West.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Go.
Fiverr Goes West.
All right.
Fiverr it is. There we go.
Boom.
Same page. Robin Keeby.
Yes, we did it.
Who would have thought y'all would want to listen to your own podcast?
Rob was probably like, oh, I'm going to have to edit stuff. I'm not in the mood. I don't know.
No, it wasn't that. I feel like that's going to be fun for me. I feel like it might. I don't know if the audience is going to like it as much.
No, I think it'll be good. I also do think we did just re-listen. We just replayed an old episode. So it's like, give it more time between that and the next time we do it. But yeah, Fiverr Goes West is going to be very fun. I'm excited.
Fiverr Goes West. Okay. Credit AJ Nars for originally incepting Fiverr into the podcast.
AJ, that Chappelle didn't like your idea. He wanted to do the other one.
What are we
doing? Do we have a budget?
Akiva? What are we doing? We're just looking on Fiverr for where we should put our budget.
What did we say?
Oh, no. The listeners are going to go. Okay. Everybody go on Fiverr and send us the most interesting, useful things that you can find.
And we had a couple ideas already. If Amanda can, I don't know, maybe she was already doing it when we did this, can find what we said. If our wonderful assistant Amanda, who sends us the greatest recaps every week, can
my
find
favorite
that.
Idea was finding somebody to listen to your podcast and give you suggestions on
That was an idea. They're going to listen to an episode. And they're going to give us suggestions for how to improve it. That is for sure going to, that's for sure going to be in there.
All right, Sarah, where can people listen to more of your work?
Yeah, so you can find me at SHIT 90 Shows Taught Me with the great Jessica Sterling. We do weekly Boy Meets World and Dawson's Creek content. We also did do the premiere of And Just Like That, the Sex and the City reboot. We gave our initial,
Did you like it or no?
I hated the first episode for a bunch of reasons. The second episode I liked better, but that's also because of some very specific reasons.
Okay. All right. Well, listen to the podcast if you want to find
out why. Listen to the podcast. We also do monthly bonus content. So for the month of December, we do, we're doing Christmas movies. We just recorded Home Alone with Chappelle. And that released today.
Yes.
And then we're doing the Santa Claus as well. And one more bonus podcast. We are watching every episode of a Friends holiday special and ranking those episodes. Wow. So very, very busy at SHIT 90 Shows Taught Me. You can find us at
the listeners are eating this month.
they are. Mm-hmm. You can find us at SHIT 90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We have a website now.
Oh my God.
SHIT 90s Pod.com. And you can find me at Sarah Ferguson and Robin Akiva. This was the biggest honor.
Oh, thank you. Well, so nice to have you
here. Honor was all ours. You did a great job picking these episodes. It was very fun to go back memory lane.
Yeah.
Yes.
When I was up in my house, on my bed, watching these shows.
Were Marv and Harry especially scary this time around? Could you identify with Akiva at all, that they could be hiding in your closet?
At no point was I ever afraid of those two men in my entire life. I was more afraid of the guy next door with the shovel, you know?
Or shovel man.
Oh, yeah, he's scary.
Yeah.
And the pigeon person in season
one. Oh, my God. Or that huge ass nail.
We're afraid of the nail. On?
Mm-hmm. I'm done. Yeah. No. Oh, no. The nail is it's my ops.
Yeah, we're anti-nail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a nail male.
Okay. All right. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Well, I'm still, you know, hanging out with you every week. Nothing but Netflix.
Yes.
This week, we are talking about 20-somethings Austin, which is, well, from what I hear, the ripoff of The Real World. And so,
what's the buzz? Does it have buzz? I haven't watched it yet.
I don't know if it has buzz. It just came
out. The buzz came from the trailer that it looked like that people couldn't believe, you know, how much of a
direct pull. Yeah.
It's also funny because like so many Netflix shows are dating shows with like a huge twist. Like we're all wearing ridiculous, you know, perfume costumes and we're all, you know,
costumes.
I don't know. We're dressed as monsters.
He didn't listen to the Sexy Beast podcast in his shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm saying like all those. There's so many different, and now it's like back to basics. We're just eight people, and the catch is we're in Texas with Joe Rogan. Like, there's not really like a catch. It seems like it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with Akiva here. It literally is just like, let's just get some teenagers together and see what happens. Look, or some early 20 people and get them together and see what happens.
Unlimited content, and they are running low on ideas. Okay, Akiva, it's not that easy to, when you can green light every single idea.
Unlimited money, you're saying they have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this week, Rob and I will be talking about episode one of this show. So check that out on Nothing But Netflix. Subscribe, all that good stuff.
It would be like, instead of one episode a week, it's like, all right, Robin Akiva, you have to make a thousand episodes this week. All right, just put everything on the wheel. We just need ideas at this point.
Yep.
Thousand throw it episodes. All at the
wall. See what sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, aside from that, I got to spend the week with Sarah Ferguson. You know, we talked about, she came on the other podcast I do with Sasha. Silent Podcast is where we do Never Have I Ever coverage. And so Sarah came on to talk about that episode with us. We're nearing the end of season two. I think we only have two more episodes left, but it was such an honor to have Sarah on and then to be able to talk to her on this one. So we had a good time. Yeah. Check that out on Silent Podcast as well. If you haven't already listened to Oxcord Approved, Akiva, I know you're going to like this one. Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers, he is doing his top five albums of the year on RJP's first real music coverage. I got to be the guest on that last week. And so if you haven't already checked that out, check it out. It's a good time. And I got to talk about an album that I really, really liked. And I think that's it. The Walking Dead has taken a break, but I still have on post-show recaps the last few episodes of Insecure. So LaTanya Starks will be back. She took a brief hiatus, but she will be back this week along with myself, Mari Forth, and our special guest, Mr. Amon Adwin.
Oh,
so if you, yes, we got a big fish great this time on the hook. So yeah, it was Chappelle, awesome. Listen, negotiations.
I have a question, Chappelle.
What's up?
Do you have a spreadsheet for your podcast appearances, or do you just remember the times? Or do you put it in like your phone or something?
Only vibes. That's it. Like,
vibes? Okay.
I've been trying to get Chappelle on the calendar system for months now, and he refuses.
Mm-hmm. It's not that I refuse. It's just that I just am not able. You know, like, it's just not my ministry. But Sarah will tell you, you have to text me the day before a podcast and be like, hey, Chappelle, are you still down? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I just move some things around.
Well, we're honored you showed up then. We didn't send you a reminder and you're here.
No. But I have been excited about this. Nick is my jam. 90s shows are my jam. So that's why I'm a big fan of all of you. But yeah, I think that covers everything. So Never Have I Ever on Silent Podcast, and then Insecure, Oxcord approved, and now, you know, here.
All right. Well,
excellent.
Everybody, thank you for watching or listening to this episode of the podcast. Send us in your ideas for Kiva. What's the best way for the people to send us submissions for things on Fiverr?
Just put them in the mailbag form. It's on my Twitter. I believe it's my pinned tweet. If not, I'll pin it right now.
Okay. And you don't have to be a Twitter user to do that. You just click on the link and
that is correct.
Go to what is it? Robinswebsite.com/what? Renap?
Wheel Ideas?
Wheel Ideas. Okay.
I think so.
There you go. All right. And to take us out, a man who is not a baby will perform us his signature jam. Take it away, Alexander Chester.
Here comes the man in black. Won't let you remember.
All right, support for this episode of Robin Akiva Need a Podcast comes from Cameo. For just $25, you can hear from some of your favorite stars from 90s Nickelodeon. And also, support for Robin Akiva Needs a Podcast comes to us from Blossom, who had a rivalry with Clarissa back in the 90s. Check it out in the latest Soleil Moon Frye documentary, available wherever documentaries are streamed.
The curve.